up until he finishes. When it's through, we'll ask questions from Mr. Machab. Then from there, we can release them, and then we'll go to the local organizing committee. It's already here, and then they'll also present to us either on the PowerPoint or on the report that they've given to us. So, Mr. Machavu, are you with the gentleman? Eh? Okay, thanks. Let's go on.
Thank you, Comrade Chairperson. I'm calling you that very deliberately. Honorable members in the House, my name is Zola Majavu. I am representing the Premier Soccer League on the direction of Dr. Ivan Khoza as its chairman, as well as the entire executive committee. The league having accepted the invitation to do two things. Firstly, to submit written submissions on time, which we duly complied with last week Friday, and also accepting the invitation to humble ourselves and appear before you so that we could share some concerns and make the inputs that we make, and hopefully as part of a collective make sure that we do end up with a workable piece of legislation. I am accompanied by my colleague, Mr. Mulalo Razunani, who is the company secretary at the PSF. Chairperson, allow me to deal with the following preliminary issues, which hopefully would pave way for the way in which I propose to deal with our contribution and participation today. Chairperson, I need to state from the outset that you will notice upon mere perusal of our submissions that we went to great detail, cross-referencing and referring to what I would call, for ease of reference, the first version, which was quite rightly, as you pointed out, that voluminous document, which I learned today that it never really made its way to yourself. And subsequently, we also had sight of the new version, which is the subject matter of today's discussion. So to the extent that there is reference to what we would refer to as the old version, it is not a mistake. We thought, for the sake of completeness and avoidance of doubt, let us deal with these issues that were once officially requested to comment on the bill as it stands and its predecessors. So to the extent that members might be at loss in terms of looking at what we are referring to with specific reference to B7-2009, which is the shortened version in front of you, please do note that it was not a mistake. You will note that when you go to the first page of our submission, we do make that point in the international background. Approximately 2 years or so ago, organized football, and by that I refer to SAFA and PSL, we were requested to submit written comments on the first bill, which we duly did. Unfortunately, for reasons that are irrelevant now, we never got the benefit of feedback in terms of where that process was or what has since became to those submissions that we made. They were handed in personally by myself as well as our security officer at the department's offices in Pretoria. I also took the liberty of checking with our mother body, SAFA, to find out if they also had been given the benefit of feedback. They also indicated not, and the same goes to some extent for my colleagues from the LOC. But having said that, we thought, because we always view ourselves as an important stakeholder, we will always embrace and welcome an invitation by our government in the form of this committee to be of assistance to the extent that we possibly can. And we reiterate the comments that we made earlier with subject with minor modifications insofar as they talk to the specific committee that is before yourself. Having said that, Chairperson, the PSL will always be guided by and will always support government's efforts to ensure safety events to the extent that it is reasonably practical and to the extent that it is feasible to implement such measures, bearing in mind the realities of our situation. Underpinning that determination, Chairperson, is our commitment to always be of assistance and make submissions to the extent that it is possible. Now, I need to sketch the following basic principles which we as the PSL support. And you will no doubt agree that those principles are exactly in consonance with the objectives that are set out in the preamble of the proposed bill. So, firstly, we record our support for the principles enshrined in the bill. We record our acknowledgement of the need for government to assist with the regulation of ensuring safety at these events. We do not have a quarrel with the principle, nor do we have a quarrel with the inclination by government, hence our participation today. What we do have a challenge with is some of the prohibitions that we hold the view are prohibitive, and if they are to be left unchallenged, they might cause problems for ourselves, taking into account how we have been formed and how we have been surviving to date. But notwithstanding that, we accept the principles as set out in the objectives. In amplification of that point, Chairperson, we have taken note of some provisions, and we thought for your ease of reference, we need to refer to specific principles that we fully support and that we have already started practicing, even before the advent of this bill, because we accepted that we as an event organizer, we bear the ultimate responsibility to take the safety of our most important stakeholders, namely our supporters, into our own hands. And that, I say before you on record, without fear of contradiction, it is a duty that we have discharged very well. There is, of course, always room for improvement, but under the circumstances, we have embraced what is now contained in the bill. As a matter of fact, it is also interesting to note, Chairperson, that when Gideon was speaking about this bill, he did make reference to the Mwepe Commission. You will acknowledge, Chairperson, that after that said day, the League did not suspend its activities in a sense, but the League had to continue to date. But for us to do so, we had to immediately, on our own, implement the recommendations that the Honorable Judge made to make sure that the regrettable loss of life does not recur. And since then to date, we have not had such incidents. Of course, I'm the first to concede that there is still irreprehensible behavior by spectators at these events. Hence, the relevance of this bill, to the extent possible, becomes very necessary. Amongst other recommendations that were made, Chairperson, by the Honorable Justice Mwepe, was that the role players responsible for the organization of such events must be identified with sufficient particularity. That we did. The introduction of what is called a Joint Operations Center, JOC, was also recommended. That is currently being practiced by the League in all its matches under its auspices. I see in the new bill the wording or the terminology, this is a VOC, but they perform the same function. Over and above that, Chairperson, we have legislated to make sure that in our own rules, these very key principles are enshrined. And failure to comply therewith is punishable in accordance with the tribunals that exist in terms of our constitution. There is also a requirement to submit safety and security plans before an event can play. This particular security plan is also vetted, amongst others, by a senior police official who is the commander-in-chief at the JOC. Chairperson, at the end of this meeting, I will take your committee into confidence and submit to you copies of our prototype security plan, the security plan in respect of an incident that Gideon referred to, that took place at Newlands, purely to be used for purpose of assisting this legislation and identify our point. I'm saying this, Chairperson, I did not want to distribute it beforehand because it is a subject matter of a case that I will be handling tomorrow. But I do accept that whatever happens in Parliament is privileged and disrespected. But I also do not want to prejudice my case, Chairperson. The purpose for the submission is to show you that literally every single aspect that has been referred to at plenary stages in this bill has been practiced by the League for the past 8 years. Most importantly, Chairperson, Gideon indicated that for the first time we'll also make sure, and if I got him wrong, I beg his apology in advance, but the point was made that going forward we'll also make sure that we have security personnel at all PSL matches. I'm saying to you, members of the committee, that is exactly what happened even here at Newlands. We had a contingency of no less than 450 police personnel, the senior officer by rank being the captain. Everything else regarding the emergency, the health, was in place. JOG was operational. There is a permanent structure. Unfortunately, what happened. In spite of all of these things being in place, the situation could not be controlled. And we are the first ones to say it is not acceptable. But we must not delude ourselves into thinking that throwing the book at event organizers and coming up with these regulations will necessarily make the problem go away. We must all be realistic. At the heart of some of these problems is human behavior. We must be honest with ourselves. But having said that, Chairperson, we still accept that this particular challenge is an ongoing challenge. We were also directed by Honorable Ngwepe that we need to categorize events. Not only that, Chairperson, we also directed to appoint the National Safety Officer, both ourselves and SAFA. I do not speak for SAFA today, but I can tell you without fear of contradiction that SAFA appointed the National Safety Officer 6 years ago. The League did so 6 years ago, and we do have a member who is charged with that responsibility, arising directly from the recommendations made by Honorable Ngwepe. The categorization of events, Chairperson, is happening as we speak, and you will see that I'm not pulling wool over your eyes when I submit the documents to you. We have the following categorizations, Chairperson, for the benefit of the members. Category A, B, C, and D. Category A being an equivalent of a high risk, to use the language in the bill, event. And B, in that order, C, D, D being the lowest in terms of security risk. Linked to that categorization is the requirements of security. To show you how seriously the League takes this issue of categorization, if a match or an event is categorized A, the League bears the ultimate responsibility, as opposed to the club that is the host club bearing that responsibility. And in terms of the seniority of the security personnel that is deployed, we raise the bar somewhat. Where you would normally have a captain, you'll have a superintendent, just to make the point, to say there are certain matches that we feel need to be categorized as high category, hence category A, and allied to that, you need to have a special contingent measures that are supposed to deal with issues of safety and security. Those are the measures that are already in place by the PSL. But over and above that, Chairperson, and arising from our own experiences, because this is a moving target. You think you've legislated neatly against all sorts of behavior until something happens, then you realize there's a shortcoming in your rules. We review our rules every now and then to make sure that we are in tandem. But there are certain challenges that we as a self-governing institution cannot overcome without government support. Hence our participation here. I will give an example, Chairperson. We have situations where 90% of our matches are played in venues that none of our members own. And I want to make this point very brutally. The use of the word brutal being in the most liberal sense. Chairperson, I have 32 members which constitute the League. And all of those 32 clubs are scattered across the length and breadth of this country. And one of their requirements is that they must play football in a stadium in the area in which they are located. Now, we're not talking about 10 or so stadia that have been developed for a specific once-off event. We are talking about stadia that is supposed to be located in the geographical areas where our members play. Now, all of those stadia, with the exception of two, are owned by municipalities. Right? It is an open secret that football in this country was regarded by the powers that be then as a non-priority sport. And the development in respect of the facilities and infrastructure allied to that was a non-issue. That's a fact. It's a historical fact that is going to take us time to correct. We're not moaning about it. We're not blaming apartheid. We're just reminding ourselves of that reality. Having said that, Chairperson, our members are then faced with a situation where they have to go to a municipality and say, beforehand, we would like to play the following fixtures at this particular venue. I will come to the state of repair or the condition of that particular venue in a second. But let us assume in our minds that there is a venue that needs to be applied for in advance. 90% of the time that venue will be in such a poor state of repair that you cannot play any professional game thereon, firstly. Secondly, because our members do not own those venues, they cannot invest money, assuming that they have the money, to upgrade those particular venues. You are therefore left with a situation where you've got to go back to the municipality and say, please let us have perimeter fencing. Turnstiles are a luxury at some of these venues, Chairperson. But we say we need to have two change rooms for the opposing teams. We need to have a separate change room for the match officials so that brown envelopes don't move around surreptitiously. I'm breaking it down to its most basic form. A municipality turns around and says to you, I have other pressing service delivery issues. I'm not going to pump millions into a stadium. In fact, even the Honorable Zille here from Cape Town at some point was refusing to say, I'm not going to spend so much money on a white elephant. That is what's under the bridge. But the point was made. Whether we agree with it or not is something else. But that is the reality of our situation. And most of these municipalities that own these venues are not even metros. Now, that is a serious challenge. Now, we take the view, Chairperson, that whilst we acknowledge the need to regulate and ensure safety of our lives, we must not lose sight of the historical facts that happen to be realities of our situation. To drive the point home, Chairperson, and I will abuse your geographical location, Chair, if I may. Chairperson, you come from a place called Kroonstad, somewhere in the Middlefields in the Free State. That particular town, for the first time in over 15 years, had a club promoted from the Vodacom League into professional football. That club is called United FC. That club is supposed to kick off its first match today in Kroonstad. I have just been informed that due to the unavailability of a stadium, let alone a stadium to regulate, due to the unavailability of a stadium, that club has had to relocate to Sasolburg, which is 97 kilos away from Kroonstad. Why? Because what is supposed to be a stadium is in such a state that it does not even meet the basic minimum football requirements. And because we regard safety at such events as a key factor, we have to take the painful decision to move it away 97 kilometers further to what is reasonably doch a better stadium. That is what we are dealing with. And the implications to that, Chairperson. I am not even talking about closed circuit TV. I'm just talking about two change rooms, an extra change room for the match officials, and a decent exit outside of the stadium, and the number of beds that need to be within so much distance in the event of a problem. We and I was personally part of the delegation that went to the municipality to say, here are the basic minimum requirements that we need the stadium to comply with. The municipality told me at my face, in a full council city, that in as much as we understand this, football is not a priority at this stage. We have serious spending issues. The sanitation is a problem. The quality of the water is an issue. People had actually barricaded the entrance to the municipal chambers that very day as we went to plead for resources to be pumped into that particular scenario. To enable us to comply with our own minimum requirements,
and the requirements that this bill, rightly so, seeks to impose. That's just by way of an example. Another example, Chairperson, was with regard to the provision of emergency vehicles as well as medical, you know, support at stadium. Long ago, we legislated the minimum requirements for safety, for medical assistance at our own stadium. The most basic of which is to make an ambulance available in attendance before the kickoff and after an hour after the conclusion of a match. I challenge you, Mr. Chairman, with the greatest of respect, do an audit and see how many municipalities that happen to have stadia have ambulances and how many. And I can tell you, Chairperson, there is no municipality that will allow an ambulance to be parked in the stadium for at least 2 hours when they have to share that ambulance amongst three other adjacent towns. That is the reality of what I'm talking about. Why am I saying this, Chairperson? I'm painting you a picture that no one should be thinking for a second that we are here to obstruct. We are here to share the experiences that we have on the ground so that as we go back and re-modify the bill, we mustn't think that we're in a first world country here. We have challenges with infrastructure. We have challenges with resources. But at the same time, we are saying we need to put our heads together as a collective and find creative and sustainable and feasible ways of ensuring safety, because for my product to grow, I need spectators. If I cannot guarantee the safety of my spectators, I'm out of business. So there is a commonality of purpose. Having said that, Chairperson, allow me then to make the point. You must also remember that the business of the league is to arrange professional football. The members of the league, 32 clubs of them, are self-funded, mostly black business persons who are using their own money to fund the activities of the league. The activities which, if this bill were to be passed in its current form, will fall to be regulated, and rightly so, by this legislation. We have no qualms with that, but we are saying you must also not lose sight of the cost implications to achieve some of the things that are being proposed. Let me pose a question to you, Chairperson, and move on to one fundamental problem that we have with the bill as it stands. How much does a ticket to a movie cost today? The cheapest form of entertainment in this country for at least 90 minutes, if not 120 minutes, is still in football. The ticket to a soccer match, not even rugby, I don't even want to talk about cricket, is 20 rand. To get entry to that new lens, you pay 20 rand. That is the price that has been in existence for over 8 years. In spite of the recession, inflation, that particular cost has not been increased. And that is the cost through which all of these things that you're talking about need to be used to defray the related expenses. Of course, yes, some teams have got sponsors, but the reality of this is that others, the majority, still don't have sponsors. And some teams have got a better financial muscle than others. The reality of the matter is, and it is an issue that came before this committee a long time ago, linked to that is the issue of TV rights, because from TV rights there's revenue. Revenue which then gets used to improve some of these things. But the point I'm making to you, Chairperson, is that whilst we as a leader say we support the bill with necessary modifications, we would be remiss in our responsibility if we do not raise these issues with you and say, hold on, gentlemen, this is a problem. It cannot be business as usual. Now, look at the current bill, Chairperson. There is an animal there that is called categorization of events. We've got no problem with that. We've been doing that for the past 8 years. But what we do have a problem with is the suggestion that our fixture, which is a plan, needs to be submitted 6 months in advance. We do not have a problem with notifying and cooperating in a collaborative manner with other stakeholders. But in our situation, it's just not feasible. The approval matrix that is referred to in the bill is going to be unworkable. We play now, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because we play a congested fixture. I know this scenario I'm referring to is only now up to 2010 because we want to finish our season earlier so that we can perform our national duty, i.e. making our players available for the Bafana Bafana camp, We all know Bafana. Bafana is not doing well, but it's our national pride. As a league, we've taken a step that we are going to finish early and make Bafana available for the camp. But the reality of that situation is that we've had to congest the fixture. Now, if we were to submit an application for some form of approval, it presupposes an administrative action because somebody, the national commissioner or the minister, must make a decision, which decision can be appealed against. And all your administrative justice processes kick in. There is no way that those things might be resolved within 24 hours or 48 hours, given our current situation. And that's a fact. We are not saying we do not want to submit those plans to anybody for prior approval. We are saying revisit the timelines. For example, how do you know who is going to be playing in the top 8 competition, the competition that has caused problems in Newlands? It is determined only at the end of the season, and you determine who is going to be playing there by where they finish in the log standing. Hence, it is called the top 8. Now, you cannot determine that 6 months in advance. You don't even know who is going to win the league title until the final whistle of the last match of the season is played. Another example, Chairperson, and we are not denigrating the principle of these notices. We simply saying revisit timelines to make them feasible and workable. How do you know who is going to be playing in the Telkom Charity Cup competition? This is the competition that gets played off-season in between the seasons. How you determine who plays there? People vote. You know, you use Vodacom to send an SMS or a message for your team. And then whoever has gotten the number of votes, then, you know, the first four then get selected to play against each other. Once again, it is something that you cannot determine with precise accuracy beforehand to enable us to comply with this requirement. Another issue, Chairperson, that I raised in your absence when I was taking questions to Gideon, and I'm glad my colleague from the police services noted it as a real concern. There is a requirement that an event organizer must take out public liability insurance. And I asked the question. You see, people think of event organizers as controlling bodies and business people with interest. What if an event organizer is government? And I gave the following example. Very often, you have mayoral cups that are organized under the auspices of municipalities. There was a mayoral cup in Tafelberg where a new stadium was unveiled. Now, the event organizers there were a local municipality, which is a sphere of government. I know for a fact that there are challenges with regard to government taking out insurance policies, insurance cover, with specific reference to public liability for that matter. Now, what happens in that instance? It means if that particular municipality as an event organizer does not comply with that requirement, that particular event will not take place. What then happens? We flag in this issue, Chairperson, not to shoot the building, but to say, let us think more out of the box and find creative ways of accommodating each other. Having said that, Chairperson, we are of the view that the general thrust of the bill is laudable. I will not take you through the submissions that you made on the original bill because I note with great amount of pleasure and comfort that a lot of those other prohibitive provisions have been taken out, which therefore means that at least the submissions did not fall on deaf ears. And it's a point that we need to acknowledge. But just to shock members pleasantly, there was also a requirement in there, and I said the following. I said, even at the full sitting of the National Assembly, I doubt if some of those requirements are applicable. I'm not a spook chairperson. I do not know the extent of the security detail. But let me cite this example. If you had a match wherein you had more than 50,000 people, you would have had to have an emergency medical rescue helicopter on standby, one. Not a landing pad for it to land. Had to be there, one. Two, for every 10,000 or 5,000 group of people, you would have had to have an ambulance of different categories. I'm not medically trained, but I'll just say the following. At intermediary level, advanced level, and so on and so forth. If you were to take the FNB Stadium, for example, you would have had to have at least 18 ambulances of varying degrees of sophistication. Plus that helicopter. There is no hope in hell that would have been feasible in our current situation, let alone an arrangement that had to be, or the cost of which would have had to be borne by our members who are self-funded. But I'm making this point to say, Chairperson, this process of engagement is useful because I see that those provisions have not been carried on into the new bill. That is why there was wisdom in us commenting on just about everything, so that the committee and all of those involved in this process get to have the benefit of the thought processes and what we are experiencing. Chairperson, I am also proud to say I happen to be the enforcer. I'm on the ground, so I know what I'm talking about in terms of the requirements. And that is why when we read the new bill, which is the shortened version, we were relieved that at least the submissions were taken into account. But we regard ourselves as a part of this process. We need to contribute as best as we can. We do not want a bill, ultimately a piece of legislation, that is going to be the subject matter of so much litigation, because you're not going to get down with the business of the day. What is also most worrisome, Chairperson, is the following. If a decision has been taken and an aggrieved party seeks to exercise a right of appeal, I note that that particular decision is not suspended pending the outcome of the appeal. Now, it may well be that the appeal right has been rendered nugatory and useless, because by the time your appeal is eventually heard and there is a decision one way or the other, the event might have taken place because it has been overtaken by events. It is a real challenge, Chairperson. That particular provision is going to cause problems for what would otherwise be a wonderful piece of legislation. We're raising it to say, let the drafters of the bill revisit it. We don't claim to be experts on these things, but from one's experience as a league and in terms of the legal challenges that we have had within our sphere of operation, these things tend to be potential challenges. We are not necessarily also assisted by our friendly Rolls-Royce constitution, because everything else that we do is subordinated to the constitution of the Republic of the country. And our republic, the constitution of the country does give credence to the rights of individuals, whether as juristic entities or as natural persons. So we need to weigh that against what we put in there. So that particular provision, Chairperson, is problematic. And I'm glad that my colleague from the DA also did raise the point when Madam Chair was assisting you, Chairperson. So it is also something that needs to be looked into. The final point, Chairperson, is what we regard as a possible constitutional challenge. When we're talking about prohibition notices, Chairperson, whether that right is given to the national commissioner or the national minister, you need to bear in mind that you're living in a democratic dispensation. No one has got the right to willy-nilly decide whether to allow or disallow a person entry into a particular event, regardless of the reason. Because if you do that, you are already presupposing that that particular person who would be exercising that authority would be making a decision. And the minute he does that, the person against whom the decision is made is entitled to written reason as a justification, therefore. And once again, even at that point, Chairperson, your administrative, law justice remedies kick in. By the time those issues have been resolved, Chairperson, it will be after the fact. You do not want to have a situation where you want to do something noble, but due to a technicality, you are stopped from doing that. Let's not kid ourselves. It is very easy to be interdicted on some of the provisions of the rules of the bill as they stand. And we all know, if you are interdicted, there's nothing that you will do. You cannot appeal against the decision of an interdict because it is interim relief. At best, you'll have to wait until some November or December when a decision is made before you can implement certain things. And I'm saying in football, our processes are time-bound. Time is therefore of the essence. And if you lose out on time, even that thing that you wanted to do with a good cause, noble means, might be rendered negative. And we are raising it again, Chairperson, as an issue for concern. Now, let me talk about the incident that my colleagues and everybody referred to, the Newlands Stadium incident. And it will illustrate the cynicism of our history. Even at Newlands, which is relatively better resourced and better equipped, the amount of police personnel deployed there could not even help the situation. The amount of turnstiles and everything else that the bill seeks to achieve could not solve the problem. Now, what more about the stadium in, say, Saramabodu Stadium, in Kwakwa, for example? And these are the issues that we are bringing to the fore to say, inasmuch as legislation of this nature will assist, we need to look beyond regulation, because some of the problems that we are facing are historical, and they are going to require a great deal of willpower amongst all of us to deal with. For the record, Gideon, there were police deployed there. A huge number of, I don't want to embarrass people, very senior police officers, chairperson, were deployed there. Everything that was required to be done in accordance with the security plan was done to the letter. We as the league have also introduced a three-hour meeting before kickoff as an additional safety valve to make sure that all our operational plans, security, safety, emergency are in place before the kickoff. So that if there is a challenge, you've got, you know, 3 hours before the event to take whatever remedial action that you have to do. It is not something that we're doing because we love everybody. We have actually legislated. Failure to do that, it is a violation of our rules. And not only that, we on our own have taken upon ourselves to discipline our own members, chairperson. But the truth of the matter is, whether it's Chiefs, Pirates, Celtics, hitting them with a hefty fine is not going to solve your problem. The fact is that some idiots there who are going to make safety at our events a challenge, which requires all of us to put our heads together here. That is what we are dealing with. A parting shot, chairperson. About 4 years ago, we had an incident where, not that rugby fool, there was another soccer fool, the Chiefs and the Sundowns play, who ran onto the field of play and he wanted to manhandle the referee. And I'm giving you real examples. It's not an academic talk. That particular person managed to run from the grandstands and he went through all the barricades, 3 meters, 6 meters, the works. But the fact is he ended up in the pitch. He was apprehended by our own security personnel. We then evicted him from the stadium. Laid criminal charges at the police station, as we should do. A docket was opened, chairperson. The matter went before the prosecutor. The prosecutor declined to prosecute, and he said the following: you guys are worrying about nothing. It happens all the time in rugby. And the person walked. As the league, as the event organizer, our only jurisdiction extends to our members, chairperson. And I want to make this point very clear. I can only discipline a person who is within my jurisdiction, namely Kaizer Chiefs, Orlando Pirates, FC, because those are my members. But as matters stand, I do not have authority to discipline a thug that does that. It is a matter for the police. It becomes a matter for our justice system. And I tell you what the moral of the story is. When we realized that these issues were not being taken seriously, even by the legislature at the time, we brought an urgent application in the High Court, which sought to ban this particular individual. Same prohibition notices that we're thinking about now. 6 years ago, we went to the High Court. The court granted us an order banning this particular individual, but the judge said, I'm giving you an empty judgment because you're not going to be able to enforce it. Think about it. Here is Mr. X, who, because of hooliganism and thuggery, has been banned from attending matches under auspices, because that we can regulate. It's our match. He is banned from attending our matches. How many matches do I play on a Wednesday night or a Saturday? It's a number of matches. You would have had to have CCTV, have so many people specifically looking out on this person like he's on police fire to stop him from gaining entry. That is what happened. We were told by our spooks that this person managed to sneak into many of our matches. Now, the moral of the story here is that we had a court order because we didn't have anywhere to go, which we financed with our own resources, to try and send a message out there that this type of behavior is not acceptable. Over and above dealing with my member, which is the club, you're not going to solve the problem. You need to take the fight where the thugs are. That takes time, that takes resources. But without the benefit of this legislation, our hands were tied to some extent. But our problem did not end there. There was then a further challenge on the constitutional point to say, what right do we have to determine where a person may or may not go? Our constitution guarantees freedom of movement, and so on and so forth. Now, we did not pursue that matter further because for us to have gone all the way to the constitutional court, chairperson, it would have cost our self-funding members an arm and a leg. I'm not raising these issues because I want to amuse people, Chairperson. I'm saying that is the reality of what we are dealing with. And therefore, as we mull through these provisions, we must not lose sight of the economic realities of the situation. We must not lose sight of the fact that even the stadia that we seek to regulate, whether they comply to level A, B, or C, are not even owned by our members, Chairperson. But sadly, the people that own them have told us not once, not twice, on numerous occasions that upgrading those facilities is not a priority. They have other pressing and burning service delivery issues. And that is a fact. It's not going to go away. But most importantly, Chairperson, the issue of imposing timelines that might be stringent runs the risk of not allowing these self-regulating institutions to proceed in a manner that is in accordance with what is practical. That is not to say we are here advocating against non-regulation. Quite to the contrary, we are saying we welcome this. It is something that we've been needing. But let us go back humbly, without being defensive. Let us look at whether or not some of these provisions are going to be feasible. Those that are feasible, let's go ahead and implement. Those that are not feasible, let us revisit. Pressing steam ahead, Chairperson, when it is clear that there are potential challenges on the ground, would be remiss on our part. And I think as the League, we're concluding by saying, Chairperson, we support this initiative, even if it came 8 years down the line. We started implementing what this bill seeks to do 8 years ago. It has not been perfect. With the expertise of ladies and gentlemen around here, we believe that we can all do better. We will not stop here. We are going to take some of the inputs that have been coming. We'll engage experts, Mr. Ronan, Gideon, and everybody else, to also on our own make sure that we do what is required, reasonably necessary to protect our spectators. After all, spectators are the backbone of our existence. And Chairperson, an impression should not be created here that we undermine the amount of thought that went into this draft. We are fully appreciative, and I want to express our appreciation on record, that we recognize that a lot of our submissions that are before you have in fact been taken into account. But even so, where there's room for refinement, let us welcome it with both hands and rely on each other's collective wisdom. They say together we can do more. On that note, Chairperson, we rest. We're happy to take questions.
Thank you, Dola. Thank you very much. And the gentleman from COPE said that is a nice, fresh input. So you can see it's getting excited today.
We will cope with more input.
Okay. thank you. Honourable members, there is an input from the PSA. Let us get clarity and on issues that Mr. Machavu has raised. Soja?
Chairperson, there is a statement here in this legislation, in this draft, that says that comprehensive consultation has been done with the various relevant stakeholders. My question now, listening to what this input is saying, was this consultation not done? Because I would assume that if you talking about events, PFL would be the first or amongst the first to be consulted. Because this would have helped us probably. My question is, was there no consultation to the relevant stakeholders? Because if not, then we would have to look at why this thing was not done. Because I would some of the things which are said by the gentleman now, I think that's supposed to be known by even the drafters of this thing. They are South Africans. So I would not believe that they don't know that the stadiums are most of them owned by the municipalities. So why were these things not taken into account? Because look at the list of concerns. I would have no problem if there were one, two. But it looks like, if you look at it, the series of concerns which, to me, give me an indication that there was no consultation or proper consultation.
Thank you, Soja. Suga?
Thank you, Chairperson. My reading on the presentation. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. I must appreciate this very clear presentation, very explicit. I thought that the presenter, in terms of his presentation in clause 75, he is advising us to consult extensively, so that there is a buy-in by all stakeholders. He also advised us, for instance, to say controlling bodies should be consulted and so on. I don't have a problem with that. But I just want to check, maybe I'm not getting it quite right. There is a submission from FIFA, and yet there is this one of CSL. Because my reading is that must that they agree in principle with the bill, despite certain challenges, but it seems to me the major challenge that has not come through is to say, please, even if you arrive at the consensus, don't pass this bill before the 2010 World Cup has been played. Can I get that clear from the presenter so that we can take it from there? Because in the submission of, if they are not the same, because this one comes from somebody, but also here there is that undertone to say stall it a little bit so that we take it at an appropriate time, despite the consultation. Thank you.
Cora?
Yeah, thank you, Cora. You know, this input of Mr. Majab really puts one completely back. And the issue which is raising are fundamental, I must say. To the issue which has been raised by Mr. George from Group, really this makes it to us, this consultation before this thing was brought to us, was it done really so that one can understand? And extend in the way how Mr. Majab has highlighted things here now, it makes you to think again, really. Honestly, we went to municipalities with the other bill. And the issue which is raised, what we picked up in most of the municipalities, the MIG is not being utilized for sports activities. And the issue which was raised there was, just as you say that when people come toying, they just take that money and they say that, let's go and deal with these issues there. So really, I don't know. But we need to look also, Mr. Majavu, that these some of the issues which you say that we should isolate and look at the things which we can take on board. Let's just stop that then.
In the absence of other hands, Salah, you can respond.
Chairperson, I'm mindful of your time and I'll try to be quick. To start with the last question, for the first time, Chairperson, I don't know what to say. It is very uncomfortable for me to comment on the extent, if any, of the consultation. Safe to say that those who are meant to consult us are better placed to respond to that. However, I do make that point in paragraph 6, which is on page 2 of the submission. And that is what, in truth, happened. Nothing more, nothing less. Our national safety officer was working closely with the department on an informal basis until we received a formal invite from the department 2 years ago to say make submissions. That is why those submissions were made and done in the form that it was done. We never heard anything until today. In fact, when you opened the meeting, Chairperson, you joked that, Majavu, you seem to have been talking to the wrong bill. It was not an accident, it was deliberate. We responded to that which was brought to us formally. We invited again to make submissions, which is exactly what we did. So I don't want to cast aspersions on anybody. No useful purpose will be served with that. We just welcomed the opportunity to make our submissions again. So consultation, whether it happened or not, is not an issue that I'm taking issue with now. If it didn't happen, it's not too late. We'll still avail ourselves to the extent required. And I request with the greatest of respect that I leave that issue. The question was also made whether to say there are undertones that we are saying stall this issue. No, sir. For us as a league, the sooner we have an act that will assist us, the better. That is why we jumped 2 years ago when we got this opportunity. And in fact, we started implementing these things on our own volition as early as 8 years ago. So there's no interest in us as a league in delaying this matter. But there is also no interest in us rushing through it for the sake of passing it. 2010 is coincidental. I, as a league, will exist. I existed before 2010. I will exist with 2010. I'll exist beyond 2010. So I need to have a solid piece of legislation that will make sure that all of us are safe when you go to this event. If it takes time, so be it. That is our approach. The other issue that was also alluded to was whether or not the list of concerns is long. Of course, the list was long, but I've been honest again, Chairperson, to say, in fairness to the drafters of the bill, if you look at the original bill, it was 70 odd pages. It's now come to 21 pages, and they seem to have taken into account those concerns that we raised, and it is praiseworthy. We mustn't kick ourselves and thinking that we did a bad job. It wasn't the best of jobs, but it was a good job well done. And I think for us, that is the spirit. We are mindful of the fact that most of our concerns, regardless of how the process happened, have been taken into account, and we welcome that. And we are committed to working better together and making sure that we end up with a better product. So I think, in a way, yes, people must not be despondent to think that the process is lost. It's not that lost. I think it can still be salvaged. But I think we need to learn to accept criticism and our own challenges with an open heart, so that we can then at least arrive at a better solution. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Sonakhidia. And the three of you, on the issues raised by the PSS through Mr. Majab, can you respond to those, give us challenges, why some of the requests that is putting forward cannot happen, and those that can happen, and let us understand so that when they leave here, they must understand that there are issues that at least would be factored into the bill as and when we move it. Huh?
When they answer this question of consultation, you must understand we're not dealing only with PFF. There are other stakeholders. What do they mean when they say, because in both documents they say draft legislators enjoyed extensive consultation. And to me, extensive consultation does not mean writing a document and exchanging documents. It goes beyond that. But let us understand what they mean when they say probably it means, so that we understand, so that because tomorrow there might be another stakeholder who comes and say they were not consulted or the consultation was not adequate.
I was asking them to respond. One of the parts that they have to respond, it's consultation. Because the committee, when it first handled the bill, there are references that are made on the sports commission. So we're lost because it's 5 years ago that we have repealed the sports commission. And then we have accepted in good faith that it might have been an oversight. Other people still think that the sports commission, when they subcock in existence. So we were going to ask, what is this consultation? Where did you meet with the sports commission and all that? But now that we have raised it, and then we'd like them to respond so that we must understand everything. It was one thing that we were going to ask them to respond on that matter. Yes, Khedia.
Thank you, Chairpersons, honorable members. To respond to the question whether a proper consultation process has ever taken place in this regard, we would like to submit the following. When we embarked on this process of drafting the particular bill, we conducted various workshops. And obviously, having taken regard to the fact that the Inwepe Commission of Inquiry addressed a disaster related to soccer, obviously, the first candidate we actually thought we should definitely be consulted would be the PSL, which we did. We conducted various workshops over a period of, over a span of time, and I definitely recall inviting the PSL. However, unfortunately, it was noted that the PSL did not pitch up when it was invited for those workshops. But we obviously knew that a document has been served on the PSL in this regard. Having said that, you will can also deduce from the list as attached to the draft bill before the committees currently, it is evident that there has been a comprehensive and extensive consultation process, including departments, provinces, statutory bodies, National Sport and Recreation Federations, major sport and controlling bodies, disaster management, city metropolitan councils, emergency services. Now, I just would like to respond to the paragraph here in the submission where the PSL alleges that through the PSL, through its former security manager, Mr. Majola, has been informally consulted from time to time by the drafters of the bill. No formal consultation has yet taken place in respect of the bill between itself and the committee. I can also recall that meetings privately were set up with Mr. Majola, and when we actually were ready to go to him for a consultation process, there was also always an excuse of some sorts. So therefore, that private internal meeting between legal advisors and the security people of the PSL, unfortunately, also did not transpire. Having said that, I just would like to now comment and say our response to the fact that they say that we have never informally, we have only informally consulted with Mr. Majora. I would like to say that this, unfortunately, we note the department, the bill before before the committees today, indeed represents an incorporation of the main thrust of submissions that we have received as a follow-up from those earlier unfortunate miscommunications that has transpired. So as a result thereof, when we receive those comments of the PSL at a later stage, we definitely adhere to and consider that was more or less in mid-2007 when we received those written comments. And we anticipate that the majority of their concerns have been addressed. However, you will see also, honorable chairpersons and honorable members, that their references with regard to complaints or concerns or painful issues on their behalf is tied up with the older version of the bill. The latest version, we really do acknowledge the fact that they actually have complemented to a certain extent the drafters' version of the bill before Cabinet. Hence, you can clearly see that we actually have reached common ground. There's not a lot of a difference between differences still to be addressed. I've learned also from the submission and what has been conveyed to this meeting today. So therefore, we're saying, because we found each other, it's just a question of perhaps sorting out the minor differences, the issues of, for instance, the timeline pertaining to the, for instance, within 6 months before the start of a calendar season, the sports body or the controlling body of a sport must submit, you know, an annual schedule of events. Now, they have a complaint in that regard, but our response will be, you need to plan ahead. You really need to plan ahead, and good planning will ensure that those timelines are actually met. It's not difficult. It's not oppressive. It's not unduly prohibitive, as alleged. So this is just to respond to the initial remarks being made. I don't know whether any of my colleagues would like to add anything else. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairpersons, Honourable Members. Firstly, I'd like to thank the PSL for a very positive contribution here today, and particularly the comments with regard to the fact that, yes, certainly, when it was received, your comments 2 years ago, they were certainly taken into account, and we thank you for that at the time, because you are a very important stakeholder. I think I'm just going to address some technical issues raised by you. With regard to your concerns as far as the categorization is concerned in dealing with the knockout type of competitions, we just wish to refer you to the provisions of Section 5C(b) of the Bill, where you will see that provision has been made for situations where matches, events, and other issues are called at short notice. We've also received direction from the Portfolio Committee that perhaps the wording of that section is not abundantly clear and that it must be made clearer, but we have taken cognizance of that point raised by you. With regard to the issue of municipalities, look, your point is well made, but you will note in the draft legislation that there is no exemption as far as municipalities are concerned. We are well aware of the fact that many of the facilities, sporting and recreational, are owned by municipalities. And that is why it was proposed by the department that there would be a phasing in period in respect of the required infrastructural upgrades for those facilities. As you recall, it was up to 5 years for a venue where a low-risk event would be hosted, 3 years for a medium-risk event, and 2 years for a high-risk event. I think the other aspect there is that we also need to be honest with ourselves. I don't believe the PSL will be wanting to host high-risk matches because of the philosophy of wanting to be nearer the supporters in stadiums which can't sustain it. And the one thing with reference to the members of the organizing committee here today, we also have to thank that's the fact that we're going to have approximately 30 facilities in our country, stadiums, if we're talking sport now, which meet the requirements as far as safety and security are concerned, infrastructure-wise, in our country. We've got the 10 upgraded stadiums. We've got the 10 official training venues, which also have to meet the minimum requirements. And that's aside from some of the work that the municipalities are doing. For instance, I can give an example. The Etiquini Municipality is busy with the upgrades of the Umlazi Stadium, which is not an official training venue as part of this legacy process. So I'm sure you'll agree that the situation is improving dramatically in terms of the hosting of those matches. Public liability insurance. Look, I see with the thrust of your legislation, you talk about funding. Look, it is about money. We appreciate that. Although we would say that the PSL clubs are not as poor as you would make out. And obviously, in addition, you also make grants. You refer to the grants that you make. You also refer to the broadcast money, the significant broadcast money that was forwarded. So I think the what we're basically saying is that perhaps a little bit more money might have to be focused in on ensuring the safety and security of our people at these events, because I don't think we can say that we must host an event in a facility in a situation where we say, well, we can't upgrade it because we have other priorities, but we still want to expose people to risks inside that facility. And it's the balancing, and I know it's a difficult thing. It's not something that can be done overnight, but we need to balance those particular interests. We'd also like to say that, yes, we are mindful of the steps that the PSL has taken and SAFA have taken to address the findings and recommendations. There were almost 50 of them by Justice Bernard Nwepi. But there are still some key issues. Some were referred to, but there are some key issues that still need to be addressed. Reserve seating for spectators. This is something we knew about already at the time, for instance, that we were awarded the right to host the 2010 FIFA World Cup. And it's still an issue. We have unreserved seating, and that does contribute, I'm sure you would agree, to the challenges that you could have in controlling spectators, as you referred to. The use of unregistered security officers has improved. We are aware of the fact that the PSL went to a lot of trouble to start registering and training. But unfortunately, with reference to your paragraph 48, it states here, most professional league football games are currently run by the clubs without interference by the PSL, with the exception, as you pointed out, you say, of the high-risk games. And we say that's an issue. And the thrust of your legislation is that you're saying that the focus should be more on the event organizers and on the spectators, particularly with regard to the criminal offenses. And you state in your submission, which is the general aspects of it, not the D of the previous version, that you believe you shouldn't be held responsible as a controlling body and that the criminal offenses shouldn't apply, etc., unless you are yourself an event organizer. So I think the most important thing is, what we're trying to say is that we're not saying that you have to do these things yourself and it will cost you money. We're really saying in this legislation before you, the department, is that you must ensure that it's in place and that it's consistently in place. Because we have been present at matches where you have these measures in place, but there's sometimes same type of matches where they're not in place. And I think, you know, those are the issues. Traffic management. You talked about ambulances, how much, you know, the municipalities don't have the ambulance. Perhaps we must have to consider in certain circumstances with the bigger events, private ambulances, where there is availability. A communication of essential disaster management information to spectators. We need to focus in on that as well, and these are all from Justice Nwepi. And then the safety and security education of spectators to deal with the challenges that you referred to earlier. So as you say, you have been, but maybe not all of them, and as you say, we've still got a road to go jointly in ensuring that the safety and security of spectators at a sports and recreational events are protected.
Thank you, Chair. Just from a South African Police Service perspective, I think a lot of emphasis was placed on the fact that the municipalities own the stadiums, and I think that's a very important point. But we must not lose sight of the fact that most of the medium risk, and especially the high risk games, will not take place in those stadiums that are so chronically underfunded. When we talk about the high risk games, these games will take place in the newer stadiums, and I think that is a consideration that we just have to keep in mind. And also that the low-risk events will not attract so many requirements. With regards to the ambulances, I may just add that the structure of the bill before the committee, Honourable Chairpersons, is that the Safety and Security Event Planning Committee will contain people from the emergency services, from the local municipality, also the fire, etc. But once again, when that Safety and Security Committee forms, we are immediately talking about a medium or a high-risk event. So it's not applicable to events where there are low risks. I think that it's important to keep in mind that the bill will structure the committees to make the necessary contingency plans in the planning where those bodies are present and where contingency plans can be made if, for instance, there are no ambulances available, to see if there's a plan B. With regards to the timelines and the schedule of the event, I think that is the most important aspect for the police, because we do not sit only with PSL matches. We also sit with other sporting events, other political rallies, other marches, etc. And our relationships with, for instance, the COSATU at this stage is so well developed that we have the schedule of their marches, planned marches, etc., well in advance for us in order to plan and to cooperate with them on that. And I think that type of approach, the cooperative approach, will only serve to assist the police to plan our resources much better. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much. Zola, thanks for your input. Also, your input on the clear position where the PSL stands in as far as the bill is concerned, and the support of the bill, and your own record that the regulations need to be regulations that are not going to impede the process of making an activity to be there, but an enhancement of activity. And then those are part of the sum of the prohibitions that you are talking about. I haven't heard them talking about those prohibitions that you are talking about. I think it will be important that you say that the prohibitions are 1, 2, 3, and 4. Then Gideon must be able to go and check into those prohibitions. We must not just talk about them. We want to have a bill that doesn't have a little bit of a dissent in saying these prohibitions, I don't know whether Parliament thinks that will be able to meet and say there are these prohibitions, and then this is what we are suggesting. And then I think we'll be in a position to can address that. But another one important thing is that to people who are sports people, no one is really so naive that he doesn't see that 80% of the recommendations of the Mwape Commission, the PSL is implementing them. And then we are seeing those kind of things. And therefore, to the football fraternity in this country, like you said in your paragraph 2, our support to the sports in this country is unwavering. But it cannot be an unwavering support at the detriment of those who are getting to the stadium, and then we undermine their rights and therefore ultimately led to a disaster for them to be killed. We're trying to close that gap and so that at least they must go there and have security and comfort when they go to those stadiums. The other thing that I want to quickly clear, although you have accepted this, but I want to put on record that the Portfolio Committee on Sports, for the first time, it got the bill. It's when this bill was introduced to Parliament. There is a level of the department interacting with stakeholders. When that conclusion is made, then the bill is referred to the Portfolio Committee. So the on your page 1, I know, I'm not accusing you. I know maybe you don't understand the Portfolio Committee and the department and all those other things, but I think I'm talking to somebody who understands that. And then for the first time that the committee deals with this bill and asks Majabu to make an input is only today. And then it will go to the history of this country that it's only today that we were engaging you so that we shape this legislation to become an informed legislation to the practitioners of sports in the country. You have raised what Gideon has just attempted to deal with it, because I was going to make reference to the top 8 and say there's a provision on the bill that in the events that are just abruptly coming where there is no program. Yesterday we battled with that, if you can recall, gentlemen. And then we said, no, you can't just have a bill that doesn't have an accommodation for any other eventuality on something that was not planned, and therefore try to do that. And then we made reference to that. But again, the top eight, Honorable Machabu knows that he might not know who's going to play there in terms of placing the category of the risk of the matches. But the fact of the matter knows every year there is Charity Cup, and every year there is a top eight. And therefore, the only thing that has to happen is that, gentlemen, in principle, these are perimeters that we want to do. In an event, there is top eight, and then it's Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs. We lift up the bar, but complying to what is existing, because it is not something that comes out from heaven. The top eight plays here, and then there's a draw, and all that. Immediately there's a draw. It opens up a window of discussion and say, we've seen in your draw in 2 weeks' time, Pirates will be playing Kaizer Chiefs and this and this. Then the level of categories kicks in there. But it is not something that it is far-fetched, and then we don't know about it. Even, Machabu, when I look at the PSL fixtures, you introduced those fixtures long ago, and as soon as you are towards closer of the league, already you have your fixture for the following year. You're just waiting for those teams that are going to be relegated, and those that are coming in, it is easy for you to slot them in. So that program is there. It can be submitted to those people that are dealing in the department long before time. But I agree with you on these others. But we know in our mind that the two are existing, and then the time and all those other things. That is a different matter, that one. The issue of the that is raised by Upoezare George, I think we must look into this thing that but the Gideon has attempted to clear this. I had written it here as a concern of the interaction with the stakeholders in the drafting of this bill. So we have raised, but we don't want to say it must be your fault or anybody's fault, but when you write to us and say, these are the stakeholders that we have interacted with, we'll do exactly what George is doing and say, but these people are speaking as if they've never been consulted. Is it true there was such a consultation? If it is not there, it is not a casting stone, Gideon. We're calling them and interact with them because we want to satisfy ourselves of the interaction that we have with them. They can have said another thing with you, but when they come to us, they are more comfortable. They've now applied their minds on this thing. Now they say other things that really they think that the committee has to help with them. Because this committee, this bill now is not a bill for the department. It's out of the DG's hand. If we have to rewrite this bill, it is up to this committee to do that, and then without asking anybody's permission. But it is a correct thing that we must ask people to participate so that we write what people are saying one way or another, not 100%. I'm worried when you talk about, Jeff, about the constitutional challenge. I was a little bit worried. Because when you said the bill has made a provision, because they were aware of that, that even the search and seizure, that competency, they have not given it to security. Because they were saying, but that is a police responsibility. This person cannot search George and arrest George. If there's any other thing that is wrong about him, he's informing the police that is working in that area, and he must effect that kind of a thing. But if there are elements that gives you doubt that it's possible for challenges, we want to raise those things and take them out and test them before, even you conclude with a bill and say, no, we've tested this kind of a thing, and then we're confident that there'll be no legal challenge on this. The main thrust of this bill, Jeff, is not to embedden anybody else. This bill has come because Judge Mwepe was asked by government of the Republic of South Africa to say, but what is this that people are killed and die almost 500 of the people in the stadium. Then Judge Mwebe came with this kind of thing. But the bill seeks to prevent the idiot that you're talking about and the hooligans that are going to be in the country for the 2010. But its essence was not made for 2010. The enhancement in passing this bill before the 2010 will enhance that. There is another submission here, Jeff, that a certain gentleman has made is coming here. It's such a sophisticated submission, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. And it's even telling us of the conventions, international conventions, on a person who is a hooligan banned and how they track him as soon as he's coming to a certain perimeter. The cameras have already captured him and they are signaling that there is a hooligan coming, you didn't identify it. Whether he can disguise or do any other thing, but we don't know the extent of the cost of that kind of a sophisticated system. He's coming to come and show us. So there is nothing that is a casting stone, but it is something that we must apply our mind as parliament and say, I want to prevent this kind of things that would happen. You see, one thing that is in conclusion, one thing that has made us to say this is a happy bill and a good bill is because, Jeff, in Orkney, Oppenheimer Stadium, people died there. Up until today, those people in Orkney, it's not simple a tombstone that people died here and on such and such. They're still there. Others are farm people who didn't have money to bury their children there. The disaster occurred in Ellis Park. It is not rich people who buy a ticket for 20 rand, a poor people who at a stampede died there. And the owners of the, or people who played that game, let me not talk about the owners of the stadium. The teams that played in that day where people were killed, they pocketed the money and keep quiet. The crisis in this country was, what is government doing because we have seven families that we can't bury? And we must ask for people to donate. And those people have taken the money. And they're not the owners of the stadium. But they've maximized the income there out of the 20 rand care for sake. And from there, they just turn their back to the people who are lying there on the grass dead that day. And they're saying, no, it can't be. Somebody must take responsibility. If you borrow my car and then you crash it and then it doesn't have a passenger liability, you must carry that responsibility. It's not me, the owner of the car, who's supposed to carry that responsibility. It must be somebody who's been using that car. Because you have to take extra precautionary measures whether the car is roadworthy, is right, there's nothing wrong about it. So both the owners of the stadium and those who are using the stadium are supposed to be responsible for that. And the issue of the stadium, I will discuss it in another level. Because I want to raise this level to the sports people in this country, especially football. When you go to Newlands, that stadium belongs to rugby. When you go to Vodacom in the Free State, that stadium belongs to rugby. When you go to Ellis Park and all those things. When you go to Bloemfontein, there is a good year there. It's a cricket stadium. When you come to Cape Town, is it Sahara, eh? In Devon. Everywhere. But you can't say there is a monument of a stadium built either by the PSL or by the South African Football Association. What is difficult in doing that? When other federations are building their own facilities and government has to come in a way and help them, it's a different discussion. But the money is coming in every day. And at the end, people take 7 million just as a bonus, go and buy drinks with the 7 million. Yet facilities are not there. So it's another matter that we have to discuss and say, really, are we honest about ourselves on these things? And then it is not for you, Jeff, to engage. But we are prepared to take anybody in engaging on that matter so that we see whether are we accusing everybody fairly or unfairly. But we appreciate your input. I'm sure you're not rigid to really good, concrete and suggestions that have been raised here. We will look into them, and then they will inform you that we have put them in. How, it is up to you as lawyers who knows better. I am not a lawyer, but I want to translate this bill to the ordinary people to understand what does it mean. That is why we're fighting about the definitions of the convention in law. Here, we're not writing the definition in the convention of law. We're writing the bill and the law for the people of this country. Thank you very much, Chief. Oh, you want to say something?
Chairperson, just a parting shot to say once again, we welcome the opportunity on behalf of the League. I commit to participate to the extent required with my fellow colleagues, even outside the four corners of this forum, so that we can take this matter forward. Chairperson, I can assure you that the League will continue and not relent in its efforts to make sure that ultimately we end up with a legislation that is a happy but practical, but safe, Chairperson. And just on a lighter note, if you make a note for yourselves on page 23 of the bill as it stands in front of you, and just going forward, you will see under major sporting bodies supposedly consulted, we as the PSL are definitely not listed. And I'm saying it is something that we need to rectify going forward. But I will also assist my colleagues to the extent required. Just a minor observation, Chairperson. You couldn't have said it better. It's got great. It's got great, Chairperson.
Honourable members, thank you very much. I think the PSL is through with it. And then good input, and then let's go to the local organizing committee. Yes. Or is there tea outside? You think, Nama? Oh, there's tea outside. Let's again. Masibambiniti. Everything? Oh, is that let's go on, and then the tea will come. I thought that. Because it's the time for tea. I thought the tea is already outside there.
Chairperson, thank you. While Leslie is doing the connection of the computer, can I possibly take this opportunity to, like others, join in thanking you for inviting us to be part of this public hearing. I think part of the anxiety that many of us had was not knowing whether there will be public hearings in this bill. There's been a lot of workshop around it, and we thought that possibly we may find it being a bill without having made any inputs. I think that's the anxiety that I think may have arisen. Possible ignorant of the processes informing the legislation processes. I think that may have been an I don't know how many workshops have I attended where this document was presented. And at some point in time, I think there was a missive of presenting the document as if it's a final version. It's definitely the present version is an improved version from the first draft that I've seen. And therefore, I think I do want to join Mr. Majab in saying the present version, in all honesty, is user-friendly. I don't know how I've read it three times only this morning, going through the main chapters, the two chapters that is that. And therefore, we are in real full support on the spirit and the intention as contained in this particular document. Chair Leslie, we will deal with the presentation that possibly reflects briefly of where we are as an organizing group, and then possibly be specific. But we will also, Chairperson, deal with some of the issues that may have arisen during the course of the day, which may have expected some responses from ourselves. I do not believe that there's any major discussion on the definition of steward, for instance. But there's been a confusion sometimes of speaking about this bill as if it's a law from some circles. So I'm just saying there's been some mischief in the manner in which this document has been paraded and sometimes given interpretation. There's no fundamental from what I was hearing about the definition of steward, what it must do or whether it must be registered or not registered. How would we want to have our people trained and not registered or certified for legacy purposes? So I'm not sure some of these incorrect references about us having, as the organizing committee, made reference that steward will not be registered. We may have spoken of a particular period where we thought that registration may have been problematic, but as a matter of principle, stewards would have to be
registered and certified for the purpose of SWC, and as we will reflect a little bit much more later. Chair, we submitted to FIFA, just concluding before Leslie comes in, our concept document for 2010. It's a 70-page document. And you would not be surprised, Chairperson, that the central theme of this document was assuming that this would be an act of Parliament, and therefore attempted to respond to the contents of this document. At some point in time, I think the chapter on accreditation was taken it verbatim, because it's so relevant to any event. So I'm just saying, it's a friendly document. You can use it. I'm sure even security officers that need to be trained can easily find easy way of understanding the contents of this document without being confined only to the understanding of the perimeter of the stadium. I had apologized on behalf of the CEO of the organizing committee, who could not be with us, but he had thought that with our legal eagle, we will be able to push through. We will come in with Mlungisi, Chair, as it relates to security-related issues, and if need be, we can inform the body on some of our approaches. I think it should be quite informative for yourself to listen to Stefan saying there are 1,000 trained safety officers in this country, and we need 10,000 of them for the FWC. We'll need 15,000 of private security. Some private security, I'm sure, is easy. So I'm just saying, as part of engagement, we do need to find a way on how we're going to go there in ensuring that we have got people that... The question is, why are there few people that are being trained in this space? But sometimes this question arises through to the LOC as if there's no sporting activities that are taking place in this country every week. But I'm just saying, it's a reality of something that we all need to ensure that it needs to happen, and it will happen, Shepherd. Chair, the document is really quite friendly, as I said, and from our side, we welcome, Chairperson. There's been a lot of reference to FIFA letter. Possibly, I'll leave that too. But I think the spirit of whatever that is contained in that letter was really to say, let's ensure that there is nothing that contradicts the guarantees that were entered. I think that the spirit in which it must be taken. If you take the act somewhere, it talks about the police officer that can stop a match, for instance. In reality, in a FIFA game, it is the general coordinator and the match commissioner that have got that final decision. The police officer can advise those individuals. You can't just have a police saying, because they are broadcasting rights that they must take into consideration. But in the context of South Africa, it's fine in the manner in which, as long as it's understood that that decision, if it's life-threatening, must inform the actual person, the general coordinator, the match commissioner, and the referee before he can just say the match is over. I think those are some of the, I think, worrying elements, I think, in some of the documents that may have worried FIFA for requesting some reconsideration in the manner in which it's handled. But I don't think the person FIFA would want to dictate on how the legislative process of our country must be. It's something that I think together, as the organizing committee, that we could advise on how we can handle some of those problematic issues. Chairperson, thanks. I've taken a little bit of more time on what possible Leslie would have done. He had asked me while he was connecting to say something. I hope I've not taken too much of his time. No. As I said, we'll come in on some security-related response. Thanks once again, Chairperson.
Thanks, Comrade Duty. Don't worry about what the letter from FIFA says. We have read that letter. One principal thing on that letter is that government is doing well to beef up security at the stadium for our people. It's not a concern for South Africa. Falke says it's a general concern in the world that there should be safety. I think when you were showing us those slides where you remember people were falling from, because it was Benny the other side, and people were falling from 7 meter high, and then because they were afraid to go and bend the other side. So they are saying throughout there should be standards of safety that are in place there. So it is not something that we argue about and all that we agree. A very little things that are not fundamental that we have to discuss. The definition of the SWAT cannot make us not to go forward with a piece of legislation. I think completing this, but I am not going to start this because there's tea outside now. It has arrived. It's 5 minutes, and then it's no more. If it, there's a tea outside there in 5 minutes. 5 minutes, we are starting. If you are not here, I'll call Donald Lee that you are not around, and then we will start.
Yeah, what else? Pori, come in. Pori, come in. Sir, ask Pori to call the technician. This thing is gone again. And then go up for yourself and you'll be able to scream as do it.
Instead of having food over there, it's going to have cake. bothers me.
Yeah. Came back from a local unit in college. Came back from an expedition in Taiwan. Every day at 4 o'clock on the dot, in the middle of nowhere, stop, build a fire, and eat time.
Is that?
Okay,
that's lovely. Is it cake or anything?
Is your system ready? And that is, are you ready? Let's start. It's the last input in our unit.
In broadcast terms, it's called the graveyard slot.
Yeah. Mpumza, close the door. We want to start. Thank you very much. The input by the local organizing committee is going to be made by Tate Sidibe. So, giving over to you, Tate Sidibe, and to present this document. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, Chairperson from Safety, Honorable Members of Parliament, colleagues, I nearly said comrades and friends, but I suppose it's permissible in this house. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity to the invitation for the 2010 FIFA World Cup Organizing Committee to present to you on the bill, the Safety at Sports and Recreational Bill. We really appreciate the invitation and the opportunity to engage members of the House as we try and formulate the legislation that will no doubt impact South Africa in years to come. Having listened to most of the deliberations this morning, one does indeed have a greater appreciation of why it's called Cape of Storms. And in particular, indeed, the Parliament is a theater of democracy, and so we welcome the robust engagement around this crucial legislation. Before I start, just to make the following points, the members, there was a letter that was written from our Chief Executive Officer, Dr. Jordan. I think it's a 6-7 page letter. This morning we submitted a document which contains the supplementary documentation that supports some of the issues that are raised, and if I may just take you through the documentation. The first part, and I apologize for the lack of numbering, I know it makes it difficult to read. The first part is the PowerPoint presentation, which I will walk through just now. The second part is the written submission itself, which was done last week. Then the third part is some excerpts from the organizing association agreement, which is then followed by the government guarantees. And after the government guarantees, you then have some excerpts from the host city agreement, and we took a sample of the host city agreement with the city of Johannesburg, no particular bias. And then we have, for the sake of completeness, included the legislation, the Special Measures Act, the two acts, plus the general security concept that was submitted by the 2010 FIFA World Cup Organizing Committee on the 30th of June last year. If I may then, Chairperson, go directly into the presentation. We all know the 2010 FIFA World Cup, we are expecting 32 teams, a total of 64 matches, which will be played over a period of 28 to 43 days. That's the duration of the expected duration of the tournament, with over 200 viewing hours, 40 billion television audiences, that's the cumulative audiences. We expect to sell about 3 million tickets over 10 stadiums. In terms of the governance structure, by way of background, and I think it's quite important because in a way this speaks to some of the comments that our presentation is very limited in its focus, is to try and understand what the role of the 2010 FIFA World Cup Organizing Committee is, and we say contextually, our mandate is really defined by the OAA, the Organizing Association Agreement, which is an agreement between FIFA and SAFA, which SAFA in turn has ceded its rights and delegated its obligations to an entity as a Section 21 company called the 2010 FIFA World Cup Organizing Committee, which is made up of four constituent groups, being football, government, business leaders, and labor. And there are a number of subcommittees within the organizing committee. In terms of the 2010 strategic time frames, it's important, just by way of background, for members to, as everybody knows, just for the sake of completeness, one wants to make the point that we really look at this project in three phases. The first phase was the compliance phase, and that's the process where we went through an elaborate process of entering into agreement with the host cities. You have the host city agreement, you have the stadium use agreement, and most of these agreements, they speak to some of the provisions which were contained in the organizing association agreement, which have then been translated post the awarding of the rights to South Africa. We are currently in a phase that we call the operational phase. Many of you are aware that we successfully hosted the Confederations Cup. We got 75%, which, if my recollection is correct, is enough to earn you a distinction. So I think as a country we've done well, and one of the things about the FCC, it underpins South Africa's ability to successfully host major events, and I think that's something that we can be very proud of. There are some aspects which are lost in translation, Chairperson. I don't know if it's sabotage or what, but there is an arrow that's supposed to be pointing towards, in terms of the operational phase. Oh, there it is. That's where we are in terms of where we are operationally. We are really less than a year away, less than 300 days away from hosting one of the biggest spectacles in the world. And that in itself is a very significant milestone for us as a country, and one wants to speak to the possible impact of the legislation and what our views are on the legislation. In terms of the pillars of the hosting of the event itself, there are certain requirements which are FIFA requirements. But over and above the FIFA requirements, we have, as the organizers of the tournament, we have identified what we call legacy requirements. And part of the legacy requirements impact on issues such as football, the involvement of youth, women, and the disabled in football and major sports in general. In terms of the infrastructure requirements, FIFA obviously, in order for any member association to be able to host an event, one is required to deliver the type of infrastructure that will be able to meet the type of volumes of people that will be attending matches. And obviously key to that is the question of safety and security. Now, in terms of the pillars, for any World Cup, these are the previous tournaments. One was business of sport. And on the question of the business of sport, I think it's quite important, which is the point that the PSL so eloquently articulated, is the fact that in order for any business to sustain itself, there has to be a funding model that speaks to some of the challenges. And of course, from a PSL perspective, you are really dealing with a market that can only the maximum that you are able to introduce. And this is one of the challenges when we were engaging the stadium authorities in terms of some of the key deliverables which are quite critical, such as the issue of access control. One of the biggest challenges that one will always face is that if, for example, you were to introduce an electronic access control system which is RFID-based, the cost of the RFID technology, if you were to apply them to a ticket for the PSL, a normal PSL match, which will really go a long way towards addressing some of the challenges in security, the cost of an access control system on RFID would far outweigh, would erode the basis of the income in terms of the gate taking. So these are some of the challenges that we believe are quite necessary for the country to debate going forward. And indeed, that's why we have one last pillar which we regard as social legacy, and this is what we want to focus on today. Chairperson. Just going back, as part of South Africa's bid to host the World Cup, government issued certain declaration on the 29th of May pursuant to a cabinet decision. In terms of that, government said that they would welcome the competition to South Africa and that all government guarantees requested by FIFA would be issued to ensure the success of the 2010 FIFA World Cup. And that's quite a key and critical point that one wants to deal with. The third point relates to government has undertaken to adopt all measures, including passing of laws, in order to comply with the guarantees. And therefore, Chairperson, when we look at the bill that is currently before Parliament, the bill in itself, subject to certain amendments, is most welcome, because we believe as a country it is important that we deal with the security issues and the challenges that are raised in organizing some of the major events. And I speak and I say that obviously within the context of most of the debates that took place for today. In terms of the basic legal principles and framework, you have a number of agreements. You've got the OAA and the technical annex. You've got the list of requirements. You have the host city agreements. These are the agreements between FIFA, the organizing committee, and the cities that will be hosting the matches. And you have the stadium use agreements, which are the agreements really between FIFA. It's a lease agreement. You have the Special Measures Act. You've got the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. Now, in total, government has issued the 17 guarantees, which I won't get into, except, of course, that one wants to focus on the guarantee 4.5 on safety and security and how that guarantee impacts on how the current bill impacts on that particular guarantee. And what's the point that I want to come back to? Just very briefly, because there are certain issues that relate to ticketing, and we welcome those provisions that deals with the question of the prohibition on the resale of tickets, because it is indeed misleading for people to say that they hold the rights to sell certain tickets when indeed they don't have those. And we saw what happened during the IPL cricket, where thousands of tickets were sold through a secondary market. And that almost created a disaster for us as a country. It's an embarrassment. And I think it's quite important that one deals with that. The World Cup will take place over across all the 10 venues. And going back to the whole debate around stadiums which are privately owned and those that are owned by municipalities, 8 out of the 10 World Cup stadiums are owned by municipalities.
Sir, this is Conor Bennett. We have nice stadiums, eh? Bigger. Okay. Now the Port Elizabeth is a state of the art. The Port Elizabeth is a state of the art. Okay. That's good.
I think the one from a legacy perspective, one is to comment on the type of infrastructure around the stadium. Is the fact that if there's one thing where government was able to deliver and is able to deliver on time, and we are very grateful to that, is that this particular project, the 2010 FIFA World Cup, has really accelerated the process of infrastructure development. And one sees it with the roads, one sees it with a lot of infrastructure in support of this event. The gross capacity across all the venues is 3.7 million. Out of the total gross capacity, a number of seats will be deducted, such as seat kills. I know it's a very negative expression, but seat kill because for security reasons, there are certain seats that you may not sell, either because there are camera platforms or because of contingencies. you kill those seats, and ultimately we are left with a purchasable inventory of 3 million tickets. Those are the stadium, and those are the total number of matches that will be played across all the venues. For the sake of transparency, Chairperson, I thought that members also have an appreciation of the various constituent groups and the breakdown of the tickets. Because very often when you talk about ticketing issues, people want to know how many tickets are available and to what constituent groups. So a total of 3 million tickets, and as you can see the split there, there are certain tickets that will be given away on a complimentary basis, the 120,000 tickets, which are Category 4 tickets, which will be given away to South African residents, and not just citizens, but residents, because we don't want to come across as xenophobic. It's quite important that one makes that point. And so what remains purchasable out of the total number, the gross capacity of 3.7, it is 3 million tickets currently. Obviously, the inventory can, sometimes it grows, sometimes it shrinks, and it goes through a phase. For instance, the security people may want to release certain seats that they had originally designated as seat kills. For whatever reason, they say, no, you can have those 5 seats back, and then one is able to sell those seats. So the current inventory as it stands, you are able to purchase 3 million tickets. I just want to run through this tickets. There is the sector definition of the tickets, category 1, 2, 3. Category 1 obviously being the most highly priced tickets, and then category 4 being the most affordable for South African residents. Those are the ticket prices for the World Cup. Opening match, category 1 ticket is 450. No, this is for the FCC. My apologies. These are the ticket prices for the World Cup. In terms of the ticket application forms, there's an issue in the legislation about the ability to sell tickets on match day. Now, this is a serious issue and a concern for us because there is a tradition in South Africa which we really need to speak very strongly against of pitch up on match days. South Africans generally leave things to the last minute. They don't buy tickets on time. And that is a problem. And that is, speaking to the bill itself, why we had the disaster, for instance, the Ellis Park disaster. But we are saying that in terms of our planning, we do intend to sell tickets up to the last minute. But what we say, we will not sell tickets at the stadium, Chairperson, because I can see already people are getting excited. But we have this ticket venue locations. One is the main ticketing center, which will be in the center of town. And then we have venue ticketing centers. So in each of the host cities, there will be places where tickets will be sold. Another location where tickets will not be sold, but it's really meant to deal with the queries that are ticketing related, is the stadium ticket center, which is outside the outer perimeter of the stadium, and I will just show in a minute what we mean. When you look at the slide there, number one is the public zone, number two is the outer perimeter. So if you look at a access into a stadium itself, which is zone 5, before you get there, you have to go through the mag and bag position. And outside the mag and bag position, there is a location which is called the stadium ticket center, where anyone that has ticket-related queries is welcome to go there so that those queries can be addressed. The legislation, the bill currently proposes a radius of, say, 1 kilometer. 1 kilometer from the stadium itself. We welcome that because what we are saying is the whole sale of tickets should be removed as far away from the stadium venue as possible in order to try and avoid some of the major challenges. Now, going to the issues, the thrust of our submission, Chairperson. We welcome the bill. That is the official position of FIFA, and it's the official position of the 2010 FIFA World Cup Organizing Committee. We welcome the bill. It is important for South Africa to have the bill, subject to appropriate amendments. And what we say, one has dealt with the whole contractual framework for the World Cup, and what we say is, in order for South Africa to host this event, FIFA had to be satisfied that appropriate arrangements are put in place in order for South Africa to deliver. And one of those key deliverables is the question of the security plans around the delivery of the event in all the venues, including, one hasn't touched on some of the team base camps, for example. There are team base camps, there are venue specific trainings, the training center, and then of course you've got fan park issues as well, and public viewing. Now, what we're saying is, in the light of the contractual framework, particularly the Special Measures Act, we are saying that there is enough that's been done for purposes of South Africa being able to deliver this event. In so doing, in whichever way the bill goes, all that we are saying is for Parliament to be mindful of what government has undertaken to do in terms of the FIFA guarantee. Just by way of example, Chairperson, and I'm referring to this pack, if one looks at the guarantees on safety and security, the point is made, the guarantee on security, which was addressed to Mr. Blatter, the president of FIFA, reads as follows: the government guarantees to undertake all security measures necessary to guarantee general safety and personal protection, especially at airports, inside and outside hotels, stadiums, training grounds, the IBC, media centers, any official areas and other areas where accredited persons and or spectators are present. Further down, it says, we furthermore guarantee that the detailed written security plan will be developed and implemented in conjunction with SAFA, taking into consideration the experience gained at previous major sporting events as well as national security guidance. I also want to quote, Chairperson, from a letter dated the 18th of July 2003, which was addressed by the then National Police Commissioner, which reads as follows: as head of main security agency, I will employ the necessary resources at my disposal to ensure the safety of participants and spectators. The South African Police Service has provided security for many incident-free international events. Now, Chairperson, one raises the issues around the government guarantees purely to say that in enacting this legislation, Parliament needs to recall that we made certain undertakings or certain promises to FIFA. In addition to that, there is a guarantee which is also included in the bundle of documents that I submitted, which reads as follows: I, Trevor Manuel, in my capacity as Minister of Finance of the Republic of South Africa and on behalf of the government, indemnify FIFA and defend and hold it harmless against all proceedings, claims and related costs, including professional advisor fees which may be incurred or suffered by or threatened by others against FIFA in relation to the organization and the staging of the 2010 FIFA World Cup. So all that we are saying, Chairperson, is that in dealing with this legislation, one needs to bear in mind the contractual framework for the 2010 FIFA World Cup and how the bill itself will impact on the event. That's really all that we are saying. Whether that will have the effect of delaying the promulgation of the legislation, or, as perhaps suggested in the submission, that perhaps some thought needs to go into excluding the 2010 FIFA World Cup from the operation of the Act, in view of the fact that there is already sufficient legislation in place to deal with the safety, the security concerns, and that there is enough contractual framework as between FIFA and government for purposes of delivering the event from a safety and security point of view. A side comment that we want to make, Chairperson, relates to the question of regulations. In the absence of these regulations, which with respect are known to us, it is very difficult for us to make an intelligent comment because we don't know what these regulations will say. But what we can say is that, and what we do know, is that from a legacy perspective, the fact that the minister may make regulation, this will have an impact, financial impact, which is not yet known. And therefore, in developing the regulation, some thought needs to go. I think my honorable colleague, Mr. Majafu, has sufficiently dealt with the issue of the cost implication for the organizers. And just out of interest, I've noted that stadium operators are not included in the definition of the event organizer. The last point that I wanted to deal with, Chairperson, relates to the question of ticketing, particularly the resale market of ticketing. It is a big market overseas, and it poses a real challenge to us as the organizers, because you have people who go out to represent to the world that they do have access to tickets. And we're not, Chairperson, I need to be very specific here. We are not concerned about the ordinary guy from Guguletu and Langa, who on match day decides, hey, Chief, I can't make it to the match. Here's the ticket. We're not concerned about that. What we are really concerned about is the commercial piracy. The parasites who create business models, who are going to inflate the cost of the acquisition of tickets for people to attend matches. One needs to also remember the reputational harm that will result in the absence of this regulation prohibiting the resale of tickets, the reputational harm to the image of the country. If people travel from Yugoslavia, United States, they arrive in South Africa, they are told that they will receive their tickets on arrival. When they land at OR Tambo International, they go to their hotel. They were told they were buying tickets for a match in Port Elizabeth, only to find themselves in Burugwan without making the appropriate arrangement. That is the type of risk and confusion that could result if we do not have a mechanism of sending out a very strong and clear message to the world that it is important for people to know that tickets to the 2010 FIFA World Cup, the resale of tickets will be prohibited in South Africa. So in conclusion, therefore, Chairperson, the views of the organizing committee are the following. One, we believe that this legislation is long overdue. We appreciate the process of engagement. And like the PSL, we have hitherto not been engaged in any workshop or whatever. We have previously received the bill, and we've been waiting for a day like this. So it is indeed a fulfillment of a prophecy that we are finally able to engage on this legislation. In support of that legislation, we are therefore saying that as a country, let us just bear in mind that there is a contractual framework already in existence for the World Cup. And therefore, in light of that, there are one or two things that could be done. Either we delay the implementation of the legislation because of its possible impact on the logistical arrangements around the 2010 FIFA World Cup, or create under Section 2 a new provision that will exclude the application of this Act to the 2010 FIFA World Cup. An issue, Chairperson, that I just want to raise as a final point is that you already have the Special Measures Act. This legislation or this bill suggests in Section 2.1 that in the event of any conflict between this Act and any other legislation, and you already have a Special Measures Act, which deals with some of the issues that are covered in this bill, and one wants to believe that the drafters, in whatever the final draft, and I'm not commenting on what is currently in existence, whatever draft, one needs to remember that whatever is contained in this bill should not conflict with the current legislation that we already have. I thank the Chair and I thank the House.
Honourable Members, there is a presentation by LOC, very provocative. Can we engage on that? Suka?
That's not the choice in terms of, because in the ticketing pricing, I saw that you price the ticket according to dollar. I'm just wondering,
it looks cheaper.
It looks cheaper, but if you translate that into rents and cents, especially the category where the ordinary Kukulitu guy stays, how do you translate that into rents and cents? I know maybe by that time next year, we'll be having a different scenario in terms of the fluctuation of the rent. If you state it currently, how would you translate that those dollars? The second issue, Chairperson, I must appreciate this openness and frankness of if the LOC. It's quite comprehensive, their document. And in a way, also, they are updating us in terms of the latest trends, how far they traveled, in terms of the state of readiness, of which they are reminding also us about the guarantees that the government has signed or entered into with FIFA World Cup. Initially, when I read the document, well, I was a bit worried in this one. In your last, your second page, but I've made some notes here. Exactly what you are saying on your last comment in terms of your fears, not unless they can be addressed, so that we are not conflicting with the previous agreements that are there. Because in your last page on this document, Chair, in the conclusion remarks, they are saying, not unless it's outdated, in the light of some of the challenges mentioned above, it is our considered view that the passing of the legislation should be delayed until after the 2010 FIFA World Cup South Africa to avoid contradiction. Now, because he raises this matter with in terms of the contractual agreement and the legal framework thereof with government. So I'm saying maybe our legal people, drafters, might want to tell us exactly where do we stand so that we are not conflicting. Because I think you said initially or earlier on that we are enhancing and trying to put that contractual agreement in operational so as to make more safety valves for any truant people who might derail us from that. I would want to hear maybe from our legal doctor as to will this be in conflict with the LOC in terms of their submission, because it raises some hair, eyebrows, this matter. The serious matter. Thank you, Chair.
I'm George.
Chair, I've got three issues. The one is when you ask the gentleman, what is his name, Harald, about the consultation. Gideon, unfortunately, I must be honest, his answer, I can only say that I'm sure he also didn't understand what he was saying and also did not help us to understand what he was saying. But it became very clear that there was no consultation. All what he was doing is mitigation as to why there was no consultation. Because if you say, I wrote a letter and then they didn't attend, that's only mitigation. It doesn't mean that you attend. Consultation, it means consultation, not attend to have a consultation. You see, because that is the crux of the matter. I don't know how they passed this legislation normally. When the legislation goes first even to the cabinet, one of the key requirements which is asked before it passes, it is the issue where you list the list of stakeholders that have been consulted. Very clear now, this is the second key stakeholder that has not been consulted. that is my question now to my dear friend, Mr. Sidis. The government is part of the LOC. Now, and this legislation is coming from government. Why is such a thing that this is a state that you, because even the Minister of Sport is part of the LOC and other government and many people. So why you operate as if it is two, when in fact it's supposed to be one government. The second part, the third part I wanted to ask you, you both your letters I read, even Dan of Denny, all of them, you seem to be requesting that this legislation must be
question is, are you saying, therefore, that there is nothing that can be done in this legislation to meet some of the requirements and do away with some of the contradictions which you have identified? Are you saying that that is too late, cannot be done? I'm saying this because today is August and the games are in 2010. Are you saying there's nothing that can be done to address some of the concerns you have raised to the point that you come to this conclusion that it must be delayed?
Donald, then the last one, the Cora.
Chairperson, yes, it can't be delayed as it seems as if it's impossible. But then the other request that the FIFA be exempted. Now, my question to our legal people, is that possible?
You see, I just want to take this point of Mr. George a point further, because when Madhav was here, I specifically asked which are the issues which we must look at so that we can continue with this bill. But that response did not come. But with this ticket still, you know, we've got people who can even make money. Really. Our brothers can make money. And what mechanisms do we have in place when they are going to reproduce tickets and sell them? It's street market lab, Ekai. You know, Lamachita, they go to Germany and they run nightclubs, Debra. Are all over. And my second point is, in the sitting arrangement, the members of this committee, where are they placed there? In which rubric? Yeah. And then, yeah. The other point, man, you know, our people here in South Africa, they get paid on Friday and matches are Saturdays. So that's why most of the time that they pay by the ticket on Saturday and what have you. It's not that they do it deliberately. So we are going to be faced with this situation as well, LOC. You must look at that one. Abanye baya kalelana. So then we don't have money at that point. Thank you.
Other questions are referred to the legal section, Gideon and your friend. And the other questions to you, Mr. Sidibe. I think Gideon, respond quickly so that maybe your response will be in a position to can make Mr. Sidibe not to dwell on some of this.
Yeah. Thank you, chairpersons and honourable chair, honourable members. Having now considered the inputs received, I would like to advise the meeting as follows. Concerning the consultation process, just to latch on to that, I'm sure I can even provide the committee proof in my office in Pretoria with regard to the consultation process. The letters that we've sent out to the PSL and also the comments that we've received. The only thing that actually we've actually omitted is actually when you will see SAFA has been consulted. Now, unfortunately, the PSL should have been slotted in just under SAFA, and we omitted to do that. That's the only difference. My apologies. I would like to tender that. That is that has been an omission. Insofar as the conflicting provisions of the 2010 legislation relative to the current legislation are concerned, we don't see that there are any contraventions or conflict whatsoever, because the 2010 legislation has been drafted for a specific purpose. Likewise, the exemption as provided by the South African government to FIFA, we see it also it ties closely to the 2010 legislation. And if needs be, we need to discuss this amongst ourselves. There was a proposal that under the application of the bill, one can insert provision excluding FIFA from the applicability of the provisions of the bill. That is that might also be considered if it's really felt that, you know, there is a possibility of a liability if the 2010, or sorry, the safety bill is promulgated prior to the 2010 World Cup. But we need to interrogate this matter further. There's an unknown financial impact of the regulations. We obviously, you know, at this stage, we cannot also assist the committee in this regard. And by stating, you know, having certain, you know, references to the regulations. So, yes, I think more or less from my side, I think that covers what I had in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I actually agree with what Gideon has said. I just mention that the interpretation of legislation would require of us to look at the special measures legislation first, because that was specifically enacted for the event, and the preamble to that, or the long title of that act rather, specifically says to give effect to the organizing association agreement between FIFA and SAFA and to the guarantees issued by the government to FIFA, etc. So those two acts, Act 11 of 2006 and Act 12, are specifically enacted for the World Cup, and it would be my contention that this bill would not be, the general provisions of this bill would not override the specific provisions of the FIFA legislation.
Hey, yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Couple of very quick things. I concur with the comments made by both my colleagues here with regard to the general aspects of the bill. I think Sister Debbie is aware that within the legal team here, we have a full appreciation of the contractual provisions which underpin the 2010 FIFA World Cup. The one point that he does make that is correct, though, is that obviously the regulations would have to be carefully looked at, drafted, to ensure that there wouldn't be a conflict when that time comes. I just want to assure Mr. Sadevi that if he has a look at the definition of a stadium owner inside the bill, he will see that the issue of stadium operators is indeed covered with regard to the management of those facilities. I think perhaps if we are wrong in what we say as far as the general provisions are concerned, it would be nice to get some concrete examples. If you look at the submissions that were made by FIFA and the LOC, and they have a common tone, it would be good to get some concrete examples of where the general provisions of the bill, as they are now are before this committee, are in conflict with the gapping that would really take the process further. But we do not believe that they are insurmountable. I think as far as whether enough has been done in terms of the 2010 special measures, there is one lacuna or gap, and that is with regard, as you mentioned, the issue of tickets, ticket touting, etc. And we'd like perhaps to hear you on that as to if we satisfy that requirement that there is no conflict, whether you believe that the provisions that are inside the bill would be helpful to yourself. Thank you.
Mr. Sidis.
Thank you, Chairperson. Perhaps let me deal with the last issue. We are reasonably comfortable with the provisions as they relate to the question of prohibition on the resale of tickets. So we're quite comfortable with that. I think the issue around the possible contradiction, not only one is referring here specifically to legislation, but around the contractual framework, which is around the FIFA guarantees. The bill currently provides Section 3.1, reads, a controlling body, an event organizer, or a stadium or venue owner, as the case may be, must put in place such measures as may be prescribed to ensure the physical safety and security of persons and their property at an event. Now, that's a clear and unambiguous obligation, which is on the event organizer or the controlling body or the venue owner. But when you read the government guarantee on security, the government guarantee reads, the government guarantees to undertake all security measures necessary to guarantee general safety and personal protection. Now, basically what the bill seeks to do is to shift that obligation onto FIFA, onto the organizing committee, onto the stadium owners, which are local authorities. Now, there is nothing in principle wrong in doing so, because in terms of the OAA, there is a joint responsibility around the delivery of security. And that's why we've inserted can never make it as a DJ, probably suck. People will never listen to my show. We've inserted people are commenting on my appointment to the CBC board. Chairperson, if you look at section 23.1.1 of the OAA, it provides the organizing association, in accordance with the respective governmental guarantees, which is the guarantee that I refer to, shall at all times be fully responsible and guarantee for the personal general security, safety, and personal protection, especially of the FIFA delegation, media, and spectators, as well as people involved in participating and attending the championship throughout the entire stay in the host country. Let's also remember, Section 205 of the Constitution is very clear in terms of whose responsibility it is to look after the general safety of people in the country. So that is really the point, Chairperson, that we're trying to make. I just want to move on to deal with other issues. There was a question raised by the Honorable Member Kora about Bayeti, who on a Friday. I just think one needs to make the point that this pitch up on match day is not something that is unique to football. It is across all sporting codes and across all entertainment sectors. So it's a general problem. The only issue is that we really need to educate our people to make them aware of the impact of late arrivals, because people arrive at the stadium 5 minutes before the match is played. They expect to find tickets. There's a long queue. A goal is scored. Once the goal is scored, there's pandemonium. Everybody wants to rush in. And what we're saying is that it is important that, A, we remove, one, the question of the sale of tickets at stadium should be prohibited. We really need to decentralize the sale of tickets as far away on match day from venues, because that leads to problems. But notwithstanding that, we're still saying to South Africans, let us learn to buy tickets on time. Then the question of the seating arrangement. There are two sets of tickets. There is the complimentary allocation. There's the purchasable allocation. In terms of the complimentary allocation, we have what are called VIP tribunes. For all the group matches, the VIP tribunes for the World Cup takes about 600 people. 50% belongs to FIFA, 50% belongs to the organizing committee. So that means our allocation out of the 600 is 300. And so on a match-by-match basis, the Honorable Member might end up being allocated tickets to Polokwane. And there's nothing wrong with that, because it's a great facility and we're quite proud of it. So, and you're quite happy with that. Thank you. As opposed to a match at Greenpoint. Then there is a purchasable allocation. And on the question of the purchasable allocation, all that we are saying is that there are certain ticket constituent groups. And as part of the various ticket constituent groups, there will be certain tickets which will be ring-fenced for what we have termed the South African football family. And I can assure you, you are part of that family. So if you want to purchase tickets, all you have to do is to contact us, We will put you on the queue, on the system that is called TIMS, Ticket Inventory Management System, and you'll be able to acquire tickets. It is that simple. So that you don't stand in the queue with the toiling masses. I don't know how you feel about that. Then there's the question of the reproduction of tickets. Chairperson, I don't think we can even begin to entertain that. It's pure criminality. There are various pieces of legislation that deals with the unauthorized reproduction. It is piracy, and that cannot be countenanced, even by especially by this House. There's enough legislation in place. The other issues that were raised around consultation, I think in any democracy it's quite healthy that we are now beginning to engage each other, and it's quite useful that we this process has started and we can then begin to know each other on a first-name basis. So I think the relationships, which have hitherto been fine, they will continue to improve, and there will be more meaningful engagement, will improve the quality of the draft. And one must echo the sentiment that we expressed earlier, that this draft is a far much better and improved draft to the one that we've received over the years. I mean, the department has to be complimented for that. The question of the relationship between government. Now, that's a political question. I'll try to answer it as a lawyer. One of the reasons the government is involved in the 2010 FIFA World Cup, it is precisely because what we did not want is a situation where we operate in silos. There is no government input in terms of infrastructure. And it's quite important that the people that are involved in the various government departments, that they are able to give regular feedback to the board in terms of what government plans are, whether it's on transport, whether it's on safety and security matters. But fundamentally, the directors of the company accept their responsibility in terms of the Companies Act. They are directors in terms of the Companies Act. And accordingly, the 2010 FIFA World Cup Organizing Committee is a private body and not a government entity, as contemplated, for example, for purposes of the Promotion of Access to Information Act. But we can debate that at another point. But it's important that we have this close cooperation and this close relationship. And yes, there are certain things which are at a very operational level, which is why it's important that myself and everybody else, with our colleagues from Sports and Recreation, we start inviting each other to tea parties so we can discuss these matters offline. The issue of the delay that we ask, we are saying, and I think we have already dealt with that as part of the submission, the oral submission, to say for us, there were just so many issues, some of which we could not raise. We would leave, for example, to the PSL to address, which they have addressed. And we're saying that there is just so much work to be done, particularly if one looks at the regulation. The question, we don't know what the regulations are going to say, and we don't know what the impact of those regulations is going to be on the operational plans for the 2010 FIFA World Cup. It's a very time-sensitive project, which, unfortunately, as one of my colleagues indicated earlier on, you cannot have a situation where a match is scheduled to play at Greenpoint, and you are told that that match is off. I think that is one of the key challenges. I've dealt with the issue of the possible contradictions that may exist. In terms of the ticket prices, Honourable Member, there's a slide on the board. There are three compromises that were made. One, that there would be a special category of tickets which would be created for South Africans, which is the Category 4. Secondly, there will be 120,000 tickets which will be given away, Category 4 tickets, across all the 64 matches, which will be given away on a complimentary basis, including, for example, the construction workers, because we want to recognize the role that they have played. The third component is that we, as the organizing committee, said that we will take the knock. So currently the prices for the World Cup in dollars, as you see, they are fixed in rand terms, and that is the slide that answers your question. So the prices are fixed, the ticket prices are fixed, and the current rate of exchange that was applied at the time is 1:7. And if you watch the news tonight on SABC3, you will see the rate has increased. And that is really the point, that we've really to try and make sure, in the spirit of the delivery of this event, try to make sure that we make tickets as accessible as we possibly can. Thank you, Chairperson. I hope I've answered all the questions. I'm not sure if some of my colleagues would like to add anything.
No, there's a left hand right at the back there. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. It really has been a very productive and vibrant.
Please, man, check your phone. The phone is going through. If the phone is on, it causes wave instability. Just go on.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's quite clear that it would have been very beneficial if we had an opportunity as OC Legal Services to get a chance to exchange ideas with the drafters of the bill and colleagues at the SAPS Legal Services. I'm hoping we can still get that under the direction of the chairpersons of the meeting. But one thing that I'm requesting Patrick and colleagues to perhaps clarify is that in terms of the organizing association agreement, the contract between FIFA and SAFA, the organizing committee has exclusive control over certain areas. For instance, the stadium, the inner perimeter, the training venues, the hotels where the VIPs and teams stay, the IBC in Nazareth, Johannesburg, and the team base camp. And the same document also says, if any security incident occurs there, it is the organizing committee and no one else who will be held liable for that incident. Now, that's the issue of the exclusive control and accountability given to the LOC. And then on the other hand, the bill makes reference to a lot of powers that are given to the National Commissioner. Now, at face value only, that would appear to be contradicting the spirit of the exclusive rights and control given to the event organizer. So what I would like them to clarify is whether, in fact, it is possible that that contradiction can be addressed and avoided, either in the current form of the bill or in any explanation perhaps that can be avoided, because there's been a request that we should provide concrete examples. And if you look at it, it does create that impression, whereas it may not be the case. And it's something that we would want avoided. May not be in reference to the World Cup. There are going to be test matches of cricket, rugby, and so on. And our point is that if you are going to grant rights to certain entities as event organizers, then we should be careful that they must be subjected to the bill in its form. But that's the question that we want to pose now. Thanks.
You're the last test. Oh, let's wait first. Poeza, you make a follow-up.
No, just clarity, because I'm sure we're still going to be discussing. I said the statistic document, which is written by Van Fernd or something, written to the Secretary for FIFA. Is the agreement not that the relationship between South Africa is through the LOC? Why is now the response to what Jerome Falke wrote? Come again?
What is that question that you're talking about?
This response to Jerome Falke from the people who are FIFA organizing.
Let us see, what are you talking about? I don't know. Are you talking about a letter dated 11 August 2009?
No, it's not dated.
What are you talking about?
There is a response, FIFA submission, safety and sports recreation, your submission dated 11 August. This person is responding. My question is, my understanding is that the contract is between the LOC and FIFA.
Let me clear this further quickly. If you're having that document, it is a document that is handed, it is lent to you, I don't know how, because it's a document that I have discussed with the police when they wanted to respond to this. They can't respond to this thing because it's this committee that has to do deliberation on the input by Falke. So everybody who has that document
it's a wrong document, it must come back. Because there is no individual.
It has become a COPE document now.
No, it's not a COPE document. Anybody who has that document is a document where...
No, because we're worried as South Africans that we might jeopardize our chances of hosting.
No.
If everybody is going to write...
But you raise something right, and then all those who are having that document, nobody supposed to write anything, whether he knows or he doesn't know. That matter. Rest with us here and say, if Falke has some views and then we feel very strong, he need to come here and then put his position, went ahead to that position. But in as far as that report is concerned, all those who have that thing, the wrong document, let it be withdrawn. Thanks for raising that, because it could have been a wrong document. Yes, Benji. Benji.
Yep. Thank you. From the side of Sira, I just want to find out some. My question is directed, I think, to the presenter. I want to find out. You see, if you look at it has to do with information that I think it will be relevant for us in order to execute our task as a regulatory authority properly. You see, if we are to take, for example, the very first slide, I'm just using this one, the stadium precinct. To me, when you talk of exclusive rights that the organizers have, to what extent would they impact, you know, on now the security, in the inner, let's say you are at 0.5, or you are at beyond 0.2, 3, that's 2, 3, and in the interior. In terms of now, if you have allowed, you've got your guys who are doing security, so on and so forth there. But then, we want to do the actual spot, you know, check on those. To what extent is the exclusive? Because that's, to us, that's the matter, and I'm sure that's why the bill time and again will refer to that the minister will do certain things in terms of the regulations. I do take note of the point you have said already, the existing commitments. However, how will we ensure compliance? I only suppose that then that would mean certain areas are also exclusive for being monitored. That's the first question I want to find out. Then the second thing I also want to relate to is the question of information, which is, you see, through your chairs up here, the main problem that I think as a regulatory authority we have is if these plans are not disclosed timely. I've taken note of earlier discussions to say what happens, you wouldn't know this match, you wouldn't know that. But if we do not get the plans timely, what happens is you can therefore then plan in terms of enforcing compliance, and that's where actually the crux of the difference comes, because then we'll be saying no, but we want to satisfy ourselves that that gadget that is used there is a gadget that meets the standards that are supposed to be at that point, and the argument would be no, but this is an exclusive area. So to us, these are some of the things that we have noticed that they become a thorny issue. That needs to be clarified. But if I can be clarified on this, I'm sure it will take us somewhere. And, of course, the last one, is this big document, I think, I just saw it here. I don't know what it's titled, but it has to do with, again, it has been delivered by yourself. I know maybe you might have delivered it at CIRA, but if that's the case, it's okay. But if not, we would appreciate, as an institution, to have it. Thank you, Chair.
Haven't I given you a chance? You want to quickly? Okay. Let's, before I give to this you to respond, just say what you want to say.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have meetings with the police and Metro Police where we discuss in detail what we call the roles and responsibility matrix, using that slide as an example, to say as a spectator approaches the stadium, who is supposed to perform which function? So we take that, for instance, the Metro Police will do traffic control, the steward will do this and so on. So your question relates to that detailed operation, and it may be too operational for us to be able to deal with it now. But we do have an exercise where we go into a roles and responsibility matrix and assign those responsibilities. And in addition to it, once we are happy that this is what the police, the Metro Police, the volunteers, the stewards will be doing, we then agree on contingency measures. What would happen if something does not work? So perhaps that's one part of the response to your question. We will address it when we do the operational detailed plan for each stadium. But the second part, the second part to it is that we had a meeting with CIRA last Friday, a delegation that was led by Rocco. And in that meeting, we agreed that one of our priorities is to ensure compliance in the training and registration of stewards in private security. And we have agreed on a process that needs to be followed, working closely between the organizing committee and CIRA to ensure that that compliance for 2010, both in training and in registration of stewards, is achieved. So it's a bit that we didn't really have a chance to say this earlier, but we are already in agreement, and we've been communicating since Friday on some of the things that need to happen. So both on the definition of a steward and operationally, how will CIRA get involved in compliance issues? We really don't have any anxieties because already in agreement in principle on what needs to happen. Thank you, sir.
That is Dick.
No, thanks, everyone. I think I really suck as a DJ. I think my colleague, Mr. Ngami, has partly covered the two issues. The one comment that she has made made reference to a document, a fake document. I presume the reference to the document is the general security concept. Is that the document that you refer to? I'm not sure which document in particular you refer to. Oh, you mean this bundle? Yes, no, this was for the members of parliament, but we are quite happy to make a copy available to you. It was just really supporting documentation. No, this was just for the benefit of the House. We will make a copy. We'll make more copies available. It was just really supplementary documentation to make sure that as we raise these issues, we have a reference point.
Yeah, but members of the public and anybody else, and even if you are used to be a member of parliament, in this city, we share all the information equally to everybody so that when you go and apply your mind and come back with another argument, you are free to do that. But I just want to conclude before we go. I hear the gentleman next to Comrade Dimitri Paya. Sam, you see, consultation with the Metro Police, the only part that has made me to be a little bit wanted to leave this is when you said you discussed with CIRA a week ago. Because I was going to say, whether the police or anybody that you can mention cannot substitute a regulatory entity that seeks to check issues of standards and compliance and everything. And therefore, the Metro Police and anybody else will never substitute that. But when you said you met with them, and then you even mentioned the name of the person, and that has made me to be a little bit comfortable, say, at least there's an attempt to do that. Because if it's a regulator, and the government has put it in place for checking the standards and everything, we cannot stand in front of it so that there should be compliance. And then I'm comfortable in what you're saying. Because the tendency is that as security companies do not want to comply. I'm not saying you are. And they are running away from a regulator. And therefore, so that they must comply. The other thing that I just want to check from Gideon. Gideon, Mr. Sidibe is suggesting that there should be an exclusion for
FIFA 2010. But one thing that Mr. Sidibe doesn't tell us is that this bill, is there anywhere in the bill where it is that we even putting this bill also for FIFA 2010 competition? If it was that, and then I would say maybe there's something contradicting us here. Throughout the bill, there is no mention of this event, which is protected, which has other regulations for it. And therefore, we have not made the legislation for the FIFA 2010. It is just a coincidence that this bill, at the time when FIFA is doing all other things, and then the bill landed in the hands of the two portfolio committees. And therefore, I don't understand when lawyers on your legal convention talking about this document as a reference to impediment to the 2010 World Cup. It has not mentioned the 2010 World Cup. If it has made a mention of the 2010 World Cup, I'll say, yes, an assertion is made, and therefore, how do we deal with that? I don't know where are they getting this fever of the 2010. I would need that explanation. But I want to get from Gideon and the others. How can we put this thing? But I don't want us to put an act only for FIFA or for any other thing. We have to make a law in the country that tomorrow we don't have to go and amend that law because we only amend for events and then only put a law for purposes of what is in our hand. I don't want that thing to happen. But is it, how are we going to deal with the matter? Probably making the LOC to be more comfortable that this bill has nothing to do with their event. This bill recognizes all the guarantees that they've been signed, and therefore it is not intended even to encroach on those guarantees, and the competition will go on. Whether this bill passed or this bill have not been passed, it is not going to affect the organization of this event, because an event organized and specific requirements for this event has been requested in terms of the law, and then it is not a general law that is going to touch on this. Sir, you intimidated me. Do you need to tell us what you are doing? Go and diam diye kubeze yela go. Yes, sir.
No, person, I want. I don't know whether this is not a matter for discussion. I don't believe that there is any group of people anywhere in the country that can come to this country when there is a law and not be subjected to that law. There are two things. Either you give them, like they are saying, you give them some special dispensation. But if there is a law, it's passed before 2010. That law applies to anybody who is in the borders of this country.
No, you're right, Mr. George. But I am saying this bill has not come to the committee because of the 2010. This bill has been there for 7 years. By coincidence, this bill has been introduced now. In the past 7 years, all the stakeholders that have been there, they are saying it was a big volume. It is true. This committee once came across that big volume and said, this is too onerous for us to can make a legislation out of that thesis. But after they have gone back to go and correct that, incidentally, this thing has lied on our desk that you and me have to deal with it. But we had no intention that this bill, and even 7 years ago, where we have not even think of having the 2010 World Cup, this bill was in a process trying to address the disaster in Orkney, in the Ellis Park, and elsewhere. So anybody who has that impression has a wrong impression. And I do not think that we are dealing for this bill for purposes of the 2010 World Cup. And if it was purposes for the 2010 World Cup, would have made some part of this bill elsewhere make a pronouncement about the 2010 and say this bill is going to include even the event that is coming now for the 2010. Plus, specific about that one. So I'm just saying, impression the creator of George is that this bill has been brought to us because of the 2010. I said, no. This bill has been there for 7 years ago, before even we were given the right to host the 2010 World Cup. It was just a matter of addressing the incidences of this violence and the death that is okay in the country.
I wanted
to help you, Chef, by proposing that possible. What we need to do is to engage with the drafters of the document and identify the areas where we think that they can be problematic.
But there is no way on our side that could have said the bill is meant to for 2010. We know the history of what, and we said we welcome the bill. We're just saying we need to look at issues that could be. I mean, the spirit there at some point, I was saying volunteers must be registered as security officers. I'm not sure what the bill says, but surely in terms of FIFA, volunteers are not meant to be registered as security officers. I'm just saying there are certain things that between ourselves here, we could agree in terms of what is it that can be problematic, rather than possibly allowing the House to engage on those. Surely, I'm saying we welcome this thing. I'm saying the spirit and the content of this bill is what drives our own approach. But we're just worried about some small issues that could actually be contradictory in terms of the FIFA as the owners of the event. Because as we all know, when they come, they take over the stadium. Again, it's not an issue of the exclusion zone that nobody can come in. You have got supporters, 60 policemen in the stadium, even if it's a FIFA zone. If FIFA wants to go and check people inside the stadium, we can't say they can't come in. So there must not be a vulgar interpretation of an exclusive zone as if the law enforcement agents would not be allowed to. So I'm just saying, I think there's still a little bit of misunderstanding, Chairperson, on what are the problematic issues. They may not be many, but I think we can find each other in the next week in terms of identifying those. And therefore, a determination can be made then whether there must be some wavering or whatever on the basis of the issues informed by the also the Special Measures Bill or Act.
Thank you. Just before you let this speak, Cedric.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. I think what we must not forget is that when the government signed the guarantees for the hosting of the FIFA 2010 World Cup, there were two special measures bills that came to Parliament in the process to make the event possible. That is there. That is giving effect to the guarantees in law, right? And that is the protection that FIFA required. What this bill is doing is actually to go beyond that. So when the event takes place, right, and there are certain areas that could be interpreted as being in conflict with the special measures bill, which is specific, after that event next year, the FIFA 2010 Special Measures Act will fall away because it won't exist anymore. So FIFA has enough protection in terms of that. This goes beyond that to also govern other type of activities that take place of this scale. And if there's questions of interpretation, it's just a question of harmonizing and getting absolute surety there. But FIFA has enough protection, Chief. They have two acts that have been put in place by this Parliament.
I think they will take next cut over, but I don't think you're going back to what Cedric and Umti is saying there. Because at least there's two nuttering, which is occurring there. So don't disturb the two nuttering. Yes,
at the risk of being ruled out of order, Chairperson, in response directly to your question around whether or not the event, this legislation, would impact on the 2010 FIFA World Cup, I'm guided by the definition section. The definition of controlling body includes an international controlling body. I'm guided by the definition of an event, which means a sporting, entertainment, recreational or similar activities hosted at a stadium. I'm guided by the definition of an event organizer. And therefore, when you look at those definitions, there is absolutely no way in law that once this legislation is passed, that it would not impact on the FIFA World Cup, with the greatest of respect. That is really the subtle point that we want to make. And I think the suggestion that has been made by Mr. MT is that let us take out those issues which some legal scholar relates to as the intolerable wrestle with words, that will have a wrestling exercise with the drafters of the legislation so we can harmonize the legislation to make sure that it is in sync.
Thank you. I'm not going to allow any hands. What you are saying is what George said there. We don't dispute that when the law is in force in the country, everybody should comply to that law. But what the Sports and Recreation Committee and Safety are refusing to accept is that we have designed this for purposes of the 2010. No. That we are refusing. No. It can't be. Yes. So that principle you must agree, because you see, Judge, if we can't accept that, it's going to send a wrong signal that this bill came because of this event. No, 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 no. Then the other factor. Stadium operators, as it was raised here, I hear Mr. Sidibe that they've showed you that they've included the stadium operators. Because I was going to ask why have they excluded stadium operators? Because in our view, we're including the stadium operators. Unless you have something which is not right there. In 2 minutes, these two nattering that the people are proposing, so that at least it must not have an impression that it is trying to impede the event of the 2010. I think you must meet, and then tomorrow, just brief us on how have you tried to have a medley. But with the LOC, you must take them out of the 2010 legislation that we have done. Just say to them, how do they want us to handle this, so that at least they must not be affected whilst we have given the guarantees to them. So that is the task that we are giving over to you, so that tomorrow you brief us on how probably you have slept over this, and then go and wrangle as lawyers, because myself and George will just make a decision and pass this law. Its consequences are for this country, not for anybody else. Are we in agreement in that? Why are you phone calling, Mr. Chance? No. If it is not this day, it's going to go for a long time. So the conferral that I'm talking about, it's not that you must lock in a room and you discuss about that, no. But you must have a space in a reasonable time, that at least you meet and what you are jostling around, and then you have an agreement, and then we must be able to move forward with the day. Honourable members, honourable members, Cora, don't, Cedric, why are you getting naughty when you're next to Mlule?
Sorry, Chairperson. The Honourable George wants to be excused because he says they are welcoming a scope thousands of members of the new Vision Party that's joining them.
Please, man, don't this. George, you know what? You have said, please don't come again to this meeting because there's order when you're not here. honourable members and visitors, tomorrow we are listening to a submission by the South African Rugby Union and the Cricket Board and some other experts from the universities of this country, UNISA and elsewhere, who are going to tell us how this bill is correct and all that, because there is the law, the Commission on Law in the UNISA, and there is also a certain Mr. Kruot Boom, and then with a very nice argument that I've seen. So we'll be listening to those people tomorrow making a submission, and therefore Gideon is going to be around, because we're going to ask you, Gideon, what these people are saying, and therefore you have to assist us. It is not the question of you just go. But tomorrow we're starting again at 9 o'clock. I hope it's not going to rain in the same venue. And then if it is raining, leave at half past 5 in the morning, for you to run away from the chaos of traffic in the morning. The meeting stands to adjourn. Thank you very much, Honourable Member.
So we'll have to go to Jonathan to that.